City 97.3. More variety. City 97.3. Accra.
There can be no other 97.3. No need to change. Keep it tuned to City. You're number one. Don't look no further. We've got it all covered. City FM.
Good morning,
my neighbor.
Good morning to life.
Good morning.
Music, talk, inspiration, in perspective.
Express yourself.
Good morning, my neighbor.
City FM, your station.
It's a refreshing lifestyle.
City FM, 97.3.
More city.
The city's biggest conversation.
Hey!
Amen, amen. Blessing and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, power and might belong to our God forever and ever. Beautiful song. It's called the Osei Medley. Diana Hamilton bringing us to 28 minutes past 6. City Breakfast Show, Tuesday the 21st. Learn how to sing. It's part of your emotional health. Doesn't matter the kind of voice you have or the key that you sing. Learn how to sing. I will sing of the goodness of the Lord. I will sing of the mercy of the Lord. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. Start your day with a song. There's always a song lurking somewhere in your heart to help you go through the dark moment. What a song. What a lift. What a morning. What a show. What a day, and what a time. Businesses brought to you by ADB. If you have an existing personal loan with us, you have serviced it for up to a year or more. Talk to us about a new special personal loan top-up with a reduced interest rate and extended repayment period, and also help you maintain your existing monthly repayment. Reach us on 059-384-4898. ADB Truly Agric and More. I love this one. Our king is coming. He's coming with great authority to bring judgment. Surely there is an end, and your expectation will not be cut off. Evil will be punished, good will be rewarded. Don't get it twisted. That's our faith, that's our confidence, that's our hope. Let's not get weary in well doing, for we will reap if we faint not. Some people say, well, we do good, we don't see any reward. That's not true. There is a day of reckoning. He said, even though hand go in hand, iniquity shall be punished. So don't get it twisted.
Rise above the noise.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city973, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with hashtag CityCBS.
It's 6:34. Total Energies is proud to be associated with the newspaper review. It's a new feel, it's a new look, it's a new design. Total Energies has brought a new user-friendly bottle with a big side handle, makes it easier to use. A redesigned cup to avoid leak and splash, and a new label inspired by a car's dashboard to make the product look better. Quartz, keep your engine younger for longer. All right, so what I'm going to do before Nathan and Goffrey join me, just going to give you a quick raft of what's happening in our world. You know, so many things happening globally, and I feel like you guys need to take a breath. So Russian and Chinese leaders are meeting on Tuesday. This is the second time they've met in as many weeks. And there's a long list of things people are saying. The U.S. is urging the Chinese leader to talk to the Russian president about the war, and essentially put to him that he's committing war crimes. Now, I don't know how he's going to do that. All right. So that's something to look out for. I just want to start international.
Yeah, it's good.
And then there's a lot of brinkmanship in the U.S. The U.S. prosecutors want to arrest Donald Trump for some of the things he said and done. Mm. And there are people who say they'll hit the streets and do an old-type protest, which could turn violent.
Bastion of democracy,
yeah? Yeah, so the U.S. is going through all kinds of things. So former President Trump is in the news. And there's BBC is asking a question, what happens next if Trump is arrested on Tuesday?
Let me ask you a question. Mm. You know, these headlines that you're reading.
Yeah.
So which system of governance works?
The one that suits the kind of people you are. You don't take one and impose it on other people. So,
okay.
So you run it based on how you've been trained. Then financially, the past 11 days, four banks have collapsed. Three big, one not that big. But again, these are big international banks. And I feel like people are not talking about it enough. So Credit Suisse is the one a lot of you know. Mm-hmm. That's the latest. They had to be taken over by UBS. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, before that, Silicon Valley Bank, it's not that such a big bank, but it's mm-hmm. a very big bank for technology companies. Mm-hmm. Then there's a bank called Signature Bank. It's the third largest bank failure in U.S. history. Mm-hmm. It occurred just last week.
Last week, yeah.
Prior to that, there was another bank that collapsed called the Silvergate. Mm-hmm. So four big banks. Now, as we speak, there's a conversation about what to do for another bank.
What's the name of this bank?
Just give me a minute. But it's a fourth... trying to remember the name. These are funny names. First Republic.
Okay. Mm.
So there are plans to save that bank as well because they've been downgraded and they were sent $30 billion. It's not working. Okay. Now in Kenya, what's happening in your beloved Kenya? Kenyan police have fired tear gas to disperse anti-government protests. Raila Odinga says he won last election. Some shops in Nairobi remain closed. Schools have been cancelled. And Kenya's democracy is also funny. It's going through all kinds of challenges.
Mm.
In the meantime, the president of the country is talking about the EAC treaty. He's like, he's thinking about
we are going on.
Yeah, the other countries there.
Now,
Nigeria as well, they had gubernatorial elections. Results are coming in. Big story is that Lagos state governor maintained his seat.
Sanwo-Olu.
Yes, the Labour Party did quite well. They were second, but they lost. Then their central bank is set to postpone the Naira devaluation. That's a big story that's in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to announce their interest rate just like we do here.
Uh-huh.
So they are expected to raise their interest rate by 100 basis points. So that's Kenya. South Africa as well, there was a massive protest yesterday.
Yes.
All right.
Led by the EFF.
Yes. Again, they're talking about many things. South Africa is almost like badly governed. Mm-hmm. They are equivalent of ECG or VR or whatever.
Eskom.
It's so poorly run. I don't even know what's happening there. Dooms are all over. And then every president has scandals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like since
after
Mandela.
There's a new vice president, actually.
You know, it makes you miss the guy who took over from Mandela. What's his name?
Thabo Mbeki.
Yeah, it's probably the best since Mandela. The rest have all been like different levels of disasters.
He's the supervisor, the late Professor Blue said, you know, when Zuma took over from Thabo Mbeki, he was very upset by it. He showed up in class very angry.
Yeah,
he was like, how has a country like South Africa been handed over to a man whose only skill is dancing?
Well, turns out he probably was right. So I'm giving you all of this to contextualize our story. So here in Ghana, what are the big stories, Godfred?
Well, in Ghana, the front page says domestic revenue to jump. Everybody's looking for money.
Charlie?
Three bills to take in 4 billion Ghana cedis yearly before parliament. The NDC yesterday also spoke. President put spin on State of the Nation address. Ghana will support ICC to investigate war crimes. This is Godfred Dame. doing his own thing there. President Akufo-Addo urges caution in amendment to constitution.
If you go to the finder, Bernard, you were talking about banks. So Republic Bank Ghana not related to embattled First Republic Bank of USA. So let's just clarify before things start to go
haywire. First Republic,
great. Other stories: Goal donates 200,000 CDs to increase Apiate support fund to 62 million. Kumasi Central Market traders say 2024 is for Dr. Baumia. NDC calls for dismissal of needless political appointees at presidency, and creditor committee lessons for Ghana. It was long and bumpy journey for other countries.
Front page of the Daily Guide says Akufo-Addo's education record unmatched. This is coming from the Education Minister, Dr. Yao Educhum. Baumia saves KJTR traders. Closed market opens today. AG stories on the front page. Comes the photo. This one has a photo of Godfred Dame in a meeting with Ukraine's Prosecutor General and the UK Attorney General, Victoria Prentice.
All right.
The Chronicle says, on the 2.370 million euro ambulance case, my lord, I have no case to answer. Atuforsin tells court in submission of no case. Jonah Mosquito says, economy was challenged before COVID-19. A book answer on page 14 of the Chronicle says, no more 17 thieves. What he means by that.
Yeah.
And Akufo-Addo's record in education
he's
is
talking
matchless.
He's talking about the claim Asirin Ketia made when the, in 2007, 17 people wanted to run for MPP flag bearership. So that's where he's coming from.
Akufo-Addo's record in education is matchless, according to Dr. Educhum. And Katamanso Land Bruhaha, court revokes bail of estate developer and others.
All right. The Daybreak goes with take cover, where civics in town. This a new order from the Ghanaian forces to its officers. They are supposed to wear mufti when they go out into when they leave the barracks. The paper also goes Baumia Heavy, Baumia at Akwesidaya, Baumia at KJTR.
Okay, the new crusading guide says Dr. Educhum extols Akufo-Addo's record in education.
I just read that somewhere.
Yes, it's also on the, this is that was Chronicle, this is crusading guide.
Word for word?
Oh.
Okay, all right. Well, so that's the focus. So.
Yes, Godfred Dame affirms Ghana's support for ICC at London Justice Ministers Conference. On the proposed ECCI, NIA must be proactive in distributing Ghana cards. That's according to the Doma East MP. And traders hail Baumia over reopening of KJTR market. Now, very interesting twist to the Dom Ketasi story. Remember a few days ago, I was yesterday,
said
it was progressing well. Check this out. Dom Ketasi project in limbo as workers fight over unpaid salaries.
Oh,
so they say that is a bit of a response.
Let me take it to the front page of the Anchor. They have a different angle to the ECG revenue mobilization exercise. Wasteful ECG embarks on wild goose chase.
My God.
As company uses 800 officers to read over 2.5 million postpaid meters.
Forgive.
And then the very sad news, one of Ghana's most experienced
MPs,
lawmakers, and a former minister.
Former MP, actually, Dr. Anthony Akotua, economist, former finance, minister of finance.
He has passed away.
He died after an illness.
That makes me on page of the paper. And headmistress closes down school over her missing 2,000 Ghana cedis.
The Economy Times says BOG likely to stay put policy rate.
All right.
Forex auction to BDCs slashed, and Ghana misses IMF board approval deadline again.
Let me give you a few headlines on
graphic business. They are heavy on Nigeria's debt. Nigeria's debt problem mainly domestic, and then wrapping up Trust Post DDEP investor protection plan now.
All right, have you done the find already?
Yes, I have.
Let me give you the online story, citynewsroom.com. Mahama will submit his nomination forms today. It's on our front page. Also, there's a lot of stories from General Mosquito yesterday. Corruption has defeated Akufo-Addo and his family, and then all and on and on. There's a response from MPP that the streets of the nation was riddled with propaganda. But let me give you a few other headlines. Prioritize credibility of 2024 poll. President charges EC. Next NDC government will not engage in bizarre expenditure. This is Adongo. And then here's one you would like. ECG disconnects GRA, KFC, Ho Airport, and others. from the power grid.
But the whole airport wasn't working, Paul.
No, no, at least last the time they did independence, it works more. People went by
air. It's the GRE part for me.
Seriously, so, this is all City Newsroom. They disconnect. But if you go to citybusinessnews.com, they are also using that story as their lead story.
You see, no, GRE today is
GRE. GRE, you see, you two, we are trying to collect.
We are coming to collect.
Now, yeah. And we are told that here's one. GRE monitoring team retrieves over 85 million revenue shortfall. So so maybe we'll see how that works. Then Joy is talking about Akufo-Addo's promises have turned out to be a scam. Asiedu Nketia, ECG recovers 18.5 million out of 46 from three state institutions in just one day. That's pretty impressive. And then Chris Hilton opens Black Stars camp with 8 players. That's a story there. So I don't know. I felt like the ECG story is not bad. ECG
start
story,
with it. Start with it.
Because I actually have an interview with the CEO that I'm going to play later today.
Okay. So
the Volta Regional Branch of ECG disconnected some customers on the first day of its nationwide revenue mobilization exercise, which began on Monday. The exercise, which took place in all 11 districts in the region, supervised a regional branch of the company in the Volta and OT region, saw officials from the company visit customers like Volta Serene, Abutia Stone Quarry, UHAS, and HTU, who owed bills. The company disconnected KFC for owing 68,000, Ho Airport for owing 63,000, GRA Office, this is all in Ho, for owing 55,000, SEPS Training Academy for owing 80,000, and Ho Technical University for owing 402,000. However, the Ho University paid 200,000 after crunch talks with the ECG and has been told to settle the arrears by end of March this year. The exercise saw some companies make payments like the University of Health and Allied Sciences, which paid 1 million out of the 1.4 million. The company told the university to settle the remaining 400,000 cedis by next week. Now, there's another story which talks about what else they are doing in other places.
Yes, the anchor's take is quite different. On page 2, says the MD of ECG, Samuel Dobik Mahama, has shockingly disclosed that the company has only 800 officials reading over 2.5 million postpaid meters, covering all the regions it supplies power to. Even though the number has been viewed as woefully inadequate and unacceptable, the MD was appointed last year, says much has not been done under the circumstances because the resources to hire more hands are unavailable. The company said it's also unable to increase the number of these meter readers to an appreciable level because it does not want to overburden the government. This shocking revelation, which has since left many scandalized, perhaps exposed the inefficiencies of the company as well as those at the helm of affairs on why they could not recover about 5.7 billion Ghana cedis in debt owed the company.
Meanwhile, GRA's monitoring team is also retrieving 85 million cedi revenue shortfall. So everybody's collecting. The monitoring team of the GRA, which is Ghana Revenue Authority, has mobilized over 85 million cedis in domestic revenue within the first 5 months of operation. The monies were recovered by 4 teams put in place to undertake risk-based and intelligence-driven operations across the country between October last year and February this year. The 4 teams were inaugurated in October, comprised Tema Eastern Frontier based at Dabala, Western Frontier in Kumasi, and Vehicle Task Force, which impounded some goods whose duties hadn't been paid. And then the CEO was talking about the work they did.
If you go to the Economy Times, they have a number of stories there. Now, they say the Bank of Ghana is likely to stay post the policy rate for the next couple of months as it begins to reveal the health of the economy this week. Year-on-year inflation has dropped slightly for 2 consecutive months from a high record of 54.1% at the end of December last year to 52.8% at the end of February this year, after a slight decline in the January figure to 53.6%. Okay, so the story just goes on to say that based on all of this, it's likely that the BOG...
Well, let's compare that to Nigeria. Nigeria is also set to extend their biggest ever rate hike, holding off on Naira devaluation. Bloomberg is reporting that the Central Bank of Nigeria is set to extend its steepest phase of monetary tightening to contain inflation. Basically, they're going to raise interest rates to try and rein in inflation, which is similar to what Ghana is doing. So very similar problems for the two countries. And it appears very similar approaches as well. Now, coming back to the main story, President put spin on Sona. This is
General Mosquito. Yes,
lots of politics in the news today.
Yes, page 16 of the Daily Graphic. The National Democratic Congress has said President Nana Danko Akufo-Addo put a spin on his presentation of the message on the state of the nation to Parliament. According to the biggest opposition party, the president shelved the precarious state of the nation and only resorted to self-glorification. At the event, which took place at the UPSA yesterday, I brought together some significant personalities addressed by by the chairman of the party, Justin Nasiru Nketiah. He said, quote, the true state of our dear nation no longer lies in flowery speeches laced in political chicanery that never accepted responsibility for anything but in taking the bull by the horn.
Mm.
He called on the president to demonstrate leadership by taking immediate steps to cut down the size of his government to signal a new beginning. He then went to talk about the economy as well. He spoke about the budget deficit of 6.2% in 2016 that had increased to 12% currently, while inflation also skyrocketed from 15% in 2016 to 52%.
Meanwhile, the MPP's national organizer is accusing the chairman of MPP of riddling his speech with propaganda. He was speaking on Eyewitness News yesterday. Nana B says that there were quite a lot of propaganda things in the speech. Responding to the accusations, he says that Sidon Keta was going around in circles and mentioning some scenarios without evidence, and I think he should move away from some of these things and leave this for the propagandists.
Well, staying with politics, the Kumasi Central Market traders, they have prophesied that Dr. Baumia will be the next leader of the country. The market queen of yam sellers at the Kumasi Central Market made this declaration when she spoke on behalf of the traders when the vice president visited the market to have first-hand knowledge of the fire outbreak. The vice president assured traders at the market that the place would be open to business today, March 21, and which counters an earlier statement by managers of the facility of an extension of the closure. His assurance comes on the heel of traders' insistence the place had to be open for business, so the affected shops are dealt with in an isolated case.
Okay,
let me take you to the front page of the Daybreak newspaper, and on page 3, there's this caution from the Ghana Armed Forces to soldiers, says wear civvies to town, and this is the force that has become necessary following attacks on some of its soldiers by the public, some of which has led to death.
Let's come to the new Yagbonwura. So that is a story from the Savannah region. So there's a new Yagbonwura replacing the one who passed on, who was buried. And that story is from Richard Fogo, says Tule Wewura Amonibafe Boyenyi. The first was on March 20, yesterday, enskinned as the Yagbonwura of the Gonja traditional area. The enskinment was done at a colorful ceremony at Nyange in the Solatuna Kalba district of the Savannah region. He was enskinned as the 34th Yagbonwura. He will now be known and called Jira Bikunu Jewu Solai the First. As part of the traditions, the Yagbonwura stopped in Gentilpe, where he was given water to drink before departing to Damongo, where he will reside. And then he will be outdoored at the Jakpa Palace in Damongo today. He succeeds Tuntumba Borisa, who passed on in February this year.
Okay, if you go to the Chronicle, page 2, Dr. Yaose Duchum, who is education minister, is saying that the president's record in education is unmatched. According to him, the performance of the current government in the last 6 years leaves previous governments miles behind in terms of educational outcomes in the last 14 years.
Keep praising yourself.
It says, quote, from schools to schools, change is happening. And those schools that are not doing well are also receiving additional funding from the MasterCard Foundation to improve teaching and learning, he told the media in an interview in Kumasi.
All right, let me take you to the very sad story of
Dr. Anthony Akotose,
page 4 of the Anchor newspaper. I'm surprised.
It was 69.
Yes, only the Anchor carried the story.
Are you sure? It's on City Newsroom. We have even...
No, I'm talking about the newspapers.
Yeah, so because the story came... I heard it on 8 p.m. news with Philip Nilate.
Okay.
So 8 p.m., that means that it was quite late.
Okay, so the immediate past NPP MP for Old Tafo in the Ashanti region, Dr. Anthony Akotose, has died. He died on Monday, March 2023, later confirmed on the Facebook of Parliament.
Yes, and there are quite a number of MPs. If you go on citynewsroom.com, some have been eulogizing him. Look, I think he did his best for his country through opposition to government. He became Minister of State under Akufo. He was 69 years old. He was quite an articulate MP. And I recall meeting the Finance Committee many years ago, 2012, doing an advocacy on interest rates. And he and the then chairman of the committee, I think he and James Aveji, they welcomed us, led by Professor Dodonu. It was a very cordial meeting. He was a decent man, and we wish him a peaceful repose. A peaceful repose. And of course, condolences to his family, including Ambassador DK Osei and all those who are related to him. Can I do international?
No, let me tell you about one Ghana story before. It's in the Eastern region. Yes, in Enyenem.
What's happening?
Yes, over the African Faith Tabernacle Church at Enyenem. It's a really big church.
Is it a GD church?
That's the Difun Cancer Church.
Okay.
It has about 1,000 branches everywhere. It's a really
massive
church.
Is that the one
church
in
OCM? Yes. You know, where they wear the white.
All right.
Yes.
I'm sure.
And he's passed away, and there's
people are trying to cause confusion
over who succeeds him and who buries him.
Seriously?
Yeah, and apparently they've asked the IGP to intervene in the matter before they bury him.
Give us the details.
Yeah, so tension is brewing at the headquarters of the African Faith Tabernacle Church at Enyenem in the Tiwa East District in the Eastern Region over who has the right to bury the late leader of the church, Superior Prophet David Nkansa, while the extended family has claimed ownership of the body and announced plans for burial. The children of the deceased, together with the leadership of the church, insist they are legitimate persons who can give the spiritual prophet a befitting
I think
burial.
It's different from the one I was talking about. This one is in Enyenem.
Mm-hmm.
The one I'm talking about is in OCM, but it's
yeah,
not
but
far.
This is a really big church.
I know
this church
now,
very well.
There's a story that I just wanted to bring you. The finance minister has on a graphic front page, domestic revenue to jump, three bills to rake in 4 billion cedis yearly before parliament. The government has laid before parliament three amended bills as part of measures to revamp domestic revenue mobilization. When passed, the income tax amendment bill, the excise duty amendment bill, and the one that is most difficult to accept, the growth and sustainability amendment bill. Maybe we'll spend some time going into all three. We'll together rake in about 4 billion cedis annually. A highly placed source told the graphic that the income tax amendment bill will rake into 1.2 billion. That means more of your money is going to government. And will still exempt those who earn the minimum wage, from paying tax. However, the bill, when it becomes law, will alter the way foreign exchange losses are treated in financial statements. And then the exercise duty amendment bill would also rake in an additional 400 million through the imposition of a 20% tax on e-smoking, as well as fruit juices.
Mm.
All right. And then the growth and sustainability amendment bill would replace the National Fiscal Stabilization Levy, which is currently levied on companies operating in selected sectors, such as telcos, minery, extractives, breweries, and financial institutions. When it becomes law, the act will rake in 2.2 billion. We can talk about this. Now, let's do it international briefly.
Yes.
U.S. is urging China to press Putin over war crimes. This is just amazing. So, Chinese President Xi Jinping is meeting President Vladimir Putin.
Mm.
President Biden is telling President Xi Jinping to press Vladimir Putin to halt the war crimes in Ukraine. So the two will meet again on Tuesday for official talks during Mr. Xi's first visit to Moscow since the invasion. And so that's the first story for you. Second story, as I alluded, 11 days, four banks have collapsed. Silvergate Bank, the first U.S. bank to collapse. It wasn't such a big story because it wasn't such a big bank. Then Silicon Valley Bank isn't such a big bank on global standards, but if you compare it to Ghana, it's a huge bank. Of course, Silicon Valley's failure was big because of the over 50% of tech companies that it supports. And a lot of people thought it wasn't doing the right thing. The third one was Signature Bank. It's the third biggest bank in U.S. history. Failure, right? This is 20% of the company's deposits collapsed. Silvergate's implosion was, again, didn't get that much coverage outside the U.S. But then Credit Suisse,
mm-hmm.
which is a bank a lot of you know about, had to be bought by USB. So basically, Switzerland said, look, USB, go and buy Credit Suisse. Buy them for only $3 billion, even though their exposure is over $560 billion. So it tells you what's happening. Then they scramble to save a bank called First Republic Bank, right? So I think there's a big conversation to be had about the way banks are
And then quickly in Nigeria, Babajide Sanwo-Olu has been re-elected as governor in an election that shocked people because of his really, really low turnout. The turnout was really, really low.
And there's also protest in Kenya as police fire tear gas to disperse crowds that gathered in Nairobi to protest the outcome of last year's election and rising living costs. Opposing leader Raila Odinga now really lost their seat to William Ruto, and they went to court, but the court says the result stands. So we'll see what we'll do this morning. Thank you, Godfrey. Thank you, Nathan. City Business News is next.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
City Business News coming up next, brought to you by MTN. There's good news for small to medium scale business owners. With SME Plus, you can manage all your corporate or operational costs in communication. Service allows you to choose from affordable packages and enjoy talk time, SMS, data, and business content all bundled into one. And the other exciting news is you get free on-net calls every Monday from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Dial *5060# to sign on today. Call 02443 08111 for more information and stay connected. And bringing good energy and passion to the game of football, God supports the Black Stars as they play against Angola in the Africa Nations qualifiers at Baba Yara Sports Stadium. God cheers the Black Stars victory. Remember, God Go Card is the easy and cashless way to buy fuel, keep track of receipts, and many more. Goyle good energy. Michael Obodo is here with the news. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bernard. Hello and welcome to the breakfast edition of City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN Goyle and powered by your most comprehensive business news website, citybusinessnews.com. Coming up, government seeks international support for Ghana Financial Stability Fund to bolster post-pandemic economic recovery. Also, Ghana Tourism Authority targets 1 million domestic tourist visits with new initiatives in 2023. And to details of our stories now, government has once again called on its bilateral partners, such as the World Bank and the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, among others, to support government's establishment of the Ghana Financial Stability Fund. According to the government, this will help in its efforts to build back the economy. Government established the Ghana Financial Stability Fund with a target size of 15 billion Ghana cedis to be provided by the government and its development partners to provide liquidity to financial institutions that participated fully in the domestic debt exchange program. A deputy minister for finance, Abena Osei-Asare, reiterated the call when she spoke at the signing ceremony between the National Health Insurance Authority and the United States Agency for International Development in Accra.
And we all know that the country has reached a standard agreement to the IMF negotiations, and there are a few prior action programs that we need to set in motion. Once we are done with that, we believe that we can go to the board. And we are working on the debt restructuring program. We concluded the domestic program somewhere last month. It is important to indicate that government has initiated some steps to set up our 1.5 billion Ghana Financial Stability Fund to provide liquidity and solvency support to adversely affected financial institutions that participated fully in the domestic exchange program. And so with this, we are encouraging our bilateral partners, including the World Bank, the AFDB, the EU, and all of you, as well as the USA, to support the government to establish this fund. And we look forward to receiving some positive feedback from you. The World Bank has already committed about 300 million, and we expect our bilateral partners, including the USA, to also support us in this, to help bring back the robustness that our economy had, and also to support our financial institutions.
Madam Abena Osei-Asare further expressed optimism of a fruitful discussion between the finance minister, Ken Ofori-Atta, and China on the negotiations on debt restructuring.
On the external debt, we have formally requested from our bilateral creditors a debt treatment under the G20 common framework for debt treatments beyond the common framework that we have. And we've had subsequent engagements with them. As I speak with you now, the minister is on his way to China, and we believe that there's going to be some fruitful discussions which will result in positive outcomes for the external debt as well. So the IMF program reinforces our social protection as a priority of government. Government's implementation expansion of the social protection programs such as the free SHS, the LEAP, the school feeding program, and the National Health Insurance Scheme is a clear demonstration of government's commitment to social mobility.
Abena Osei-Asare is a deputy minister for finance. Away from that, the Ghana Tourism Authority is confident the country will receive 1 million domestic tourist visits this year following initiatives the institution has implemented. This report has the rest of the story.
According to records obtained from the Ghana Tourism Authority, the central region received the highest number of domestic tourist visits in the country in 2022, with over 240,000 visits. Following closely was the Eastern region, with about 188,000 visits, and the Ashanti region with more than 152,000 visits. The Ebre Botanical Garden ranked first with over 150,000 visits, while the Kakum National Park's Canopy Walk and the Kumasi Zoo followed consecutively with about 113,000 visits. The total tourism revenue generated from these tourist sites' arrivals is estimated to be over 5 million Ghana cedis.
I think the progress has come about as a result of a conscious effort to promote domestic tourism. We started the Experience Ghana, Share Ghana campaign. We've been promoting our See Ghana, Eat Ghana, Wear Ghana. We've been partnering with organizations like City on the Heritage Caravan. Other media houses have also done their own. And so the combination of all that is what we are seeing there.
The Ghana Tourism Authority aims to increase the 2022 figure by 25% through the various programs it is implementing.
Last year, our target was around 600. We've done 900. So it stretches us a bit, but we want to go to the 1 million mark for domestic tourism. Make it like a 1 million every year. At least if you're hovering around 1 million every year, it's good numbers. I mean, if 180,000 people are visiting a tourist site, the fees that they charge, because it's set by Parliament, for example, if you go to the museum, it's like for Ghanaians, 2 cedis, 3 cedis. So the museum itself is not making a lot of money, but the value chain, as I put it. So if you go there, the coconut seller who is standing there, who is constantly waiting for you to come out, sweating, and then selling you the coconut, he's making money. So that value chain for me is more important than how much the museum itself is making.
That was the CEO of the Ghana Tourism Authority, Akwesi Ajiman, ending that report. Away from that, the president of the Ghana Union of Traders Associations, GUTA, Dr. Joseph Obeng, has welcomed the decision by government to allow traders of the KTR market to return to their business today instead of next week as initially announced. Parts of the first and second floors of the market were raged by fire on Wednesday, March 15, which caused extensive damage to several stores. Subsequently, government directed that a portion of the market that was engulfed in the inferno will be closed down for business for at least a week to allow for proper assessment of the incident. The vice president, after visiting the site on Monday, announced that the traders can return to the market on Tuesday. Speaking to City Business News, president of GUTA, Dr. Obeng, expressed relief that the traders can go back to their trade.
It's a welcome news. As we all know, it's a section of the whole big place that got affected, and therefore the whole place to be closed. No, people are owing and all this, and they can't. And for trading, one day is even an issue. So if it's a welcome news for the people, the committee working around it to have come for this decision, and I support that. Because they started agitating yesterday, they called me to suggest that the place is going to be closed for 1 week and they cannot wait. So I thank God that good sense has prevailed.
Dr. Joseph Obeng is the president of the Ghana Union of Traders Associations, GUTA. The Zongo and Inner Cities Development Secretariat is urging investors to leverage on the abundance of bamboo in the country to create entrepreneurial opportunities for the teeming youth across the country. The secretariat explains that an entrepreneurial drive will complement the efforts being made by government to address the current unemployment situation in the country. The presidential coordinator of the Inner Cities Development Secretariat, Alhaji Ben Abdallah Banda Esquire, made these comments at a business forum in Accra.
We are looking at how we can make the bamboo business a very fruitful business, because bamboo in Asia, for instance, in China, is a very viable thing that they use in doing a lot of things. But in this part of our world, especially Ghana, we all attest to the fact that we have a lot of bamboos. But what do we do with bamboo? Then bamboo is something which is lucrative, that we can do a lot of business with, take advantage of it, get a lot of use involved.
That was the presidential coordinator of the Inner Cities Development Secretariat, Alhaji Ben Abdallah Banda Esquire. Now, on the interbank foreign exchange market, where banks trade amongst themselves, the dollar remained unchanged and is selling at 11 cedis 2 pesos. The British pound gained 1 peso and is selling at 13 cedis 5 pesos. The euro gained 1 peso and is selling at 11 cedis 8 pesos. However, at some forex bureaus in the capital, the dollar is selling for 12 cedis 70 pesos, the British pound at 15 cedis 10 pesos, and the euro for 13 cities, 10 pesos. Let's now join Mark Jordan, Scanarte of Data Bank, for updates on the bonds market.
At last Friday's money market auction, the Treasury raised 3.88 billion Ghana cedis across the 91-day and the 182-day bills, exceeding the overall target by 39.79%. Yields trended downwards, with the 91-day yield losing 147 basis points to 18.53% and the 182-day yield closing at 21.27%. The 364-day yield was unchanged at 26.82%. Market activity in government of Ghana bonds contracted 21.09% week on week, trading a total face value of 119.05 million Ghana cedis last week. The Data Bank bond index increased 0.16% week on week to close at 97.99 points, trimming the weighted yield to maturity by 13 basis points to 9.46%.
That was Mark Jordan Sikanate of Data Bank. And that does it for the breakfast edition of City Business News, proudly brought to you by MTN Goyal and powered by your most comprehensive business news website, citybusinessnews.com. My name is Michael Obudu. Thank you for listening. Have a good business day. And as always, please stay safe.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Give me chance, oh, break your heart, baby. Unleashing the power of Relevant Radio. This is City 97.3.
Mommy, take that me up. Me and that girl no end well up.
12 minutes past 7, City Breakfast Show. Kickoff coming up next is our sports bulletin, brought to you by Shell Fuel Save Super, Shell Fuel Save Diesel, and Shell V Power Fuel, designed to last longer. The triple action formula improves your engine's efficiency, prevents deposit buildup, and protects your engine from wear and corrosion. It gives you extra clean, extra protection, and extra savings. Go well. And Les Sherho Savings and Loans has been supporting the investment goals of customers with attractive solutions. We've always been a safe haven for depositors who value security as well as competitive returns. With easy access to track your funds, we offer flexible deposit products for 91, 182, and 365 days. Open a fixed deposit account with us. Call 0577-707-700. Les Sherho Savings and Loans, a trusted safe haven for your investments. Les Sherho, let's improve life.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
If you need unique services, innovative financial solutions, we deliver on our promise, cause we are number one. Let's share go, we improve your life.
Let's share go, hey. Let's share go, hey. Let's share go, hey. Mama, hey mama, hey mama.
Even when you're stuck with nothing,
come to let's share go.
No matter your situation,
come to let's share go.
Let's share go, we improve your life.
Let's share go, hey. Let's share go, hey, hey. Let's share go, hey, hey. Mama, hey mama, hey mama.
Let's share go, we improve your life.
Let's share go savings and loans. Let's improve life.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
So Benjamin Nketiah is joining us with sports news. Welcome, Ben.
Welcome. Thank you, Bernard. Let me get into the headlines. And in the headlines, 18 players, they have reported to camp for the Black Stars ahead of that AFCON qualifier against Angola. Now, Rashford, Mason Mount, and Nick Pope also have withdrawn from England's Three Lions squad. And in the NBA, there were wins for the Grizzlies, the Bulls, and the Utah Jazz. And Black Stars of Ghana currently have 18 players in camp as they prepare for that particular game against Angola in the AFCON qualifiers. Now, Chris Hughton, he is head coach of the team. He was unveiled yesterday to a very large media audience in Kumasi. Now, he says his objective is to build on the positives from Ghana's performance at the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Now, the 64-year-old was unveiled at the SG Mall yesterday and handed a 21-month performance-based contract by the Ghana Football Association. Hughton will work alongside Masud Didi Dramani and George Boateng with the task of qualifying Ghana to the 2023 AFCON in Cote d'Ivoire and also to win the tournament.
So these are the things that I would like to think that my years in experience have allowed me to do. As regards my role as technical advisor, then my role predominantly was to support the technical staff, to be a sounding board for the technical staff and the head coach. And I think overall there were disappointments in the World Cup. There's no doubt about that. But I think we had a lot of pluses. You have to always break it down, and you have to look at the games one by one. And I think out of the three games, obviously the biggest disappointment was losing against Uruguay and the manner in which we exited. But I think most people would have looked at the Portuguese game with the quality that they have, their standing in world football, and the South Korea game with, I think, far more positives. So you have to break it down, and that's exactly what I have to do.
Now, still on Hughton's unveiling, Ghana's vice-captain Thomas Partey, who is in good form for club side Arsenal in the Premier League, had Chris Hughton speaking about his performance. Now, Partey is part of the 25-month squad called up by Hughton for the doubleheader against Angola and is expected to start. Now, Hughton labelled the 29-year-old as a continuity player whose role is underappreciated.
What you are saying about Thomas is something that you are thinking, your thoughts are very much what's happened before. But I can give you my comments on Thomas. I think he's a wonderful player, a wonderful footballer that's playing in an Arsenal team at the moment, and he's playing a huge part in their success at the moment. But Thomas's role, Thomas is what we regard in the game as a continuity player. You know, he's not going to be that player, that exciting player that's going to dribble past somebody and score a goal or run down the flank, beat somebody, get a crossing. But Thomas's role has always been hugely important to the managers to pick him. And this is why, at international level and at club level, he has always been in the team.
So you heard Chris Hughton speaking there. Now, among the players in camp include Dani Amate, Joseph Edu, Antoine Semenyo, Jojo Wollacott, Inaki Williams, Andrea Yu, and Ransford Yeboah Konigsdorfer. Also, Joseph Paintsil makes a return to the national team. So that's what's going on. And as far as the national team is concerned, there's an update. And Kingsley Schindler, he has been called up to replace the injured Tariq Lamptey for this week's Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers against Angola. The German-born, who is yet to be capped by Ghana, arrived in Accra on Monday to join the rest of the squad for the two crucial matches slated for Kumasi and Luanda, respectively. The 29-year-old plays for German Bundesliga side FC Cologne. Now, Tariq Lamptey, who was part of the 25-month squad that was announced for the matches, has been forced to withdraw due to injury. Meanwhile, like I earlier stated, 17 players are currently in camp ahead of the trip to Kumasi on Tuesday afternoon. The other players are expected to arrive in camp this morning. So that's what's going on as far as the national team is concerned. Let's move on to some other stuff, and let's get to the Ghana Premier League. At the Elwak Sports Stadium, it was Lagos City's taking on Adriana Stars. It was 2-0 advantage. Lagos City's now a brace for Michael Otu gave them the win. Now, Kim Faisal also drew goalless with Bibiani Gold Stars. Head coach of Kim Faisal, Godwin Ablode, bemoaned his side's lack of efficiency in front of goal as a major factor leading to the stalemate.
And we're better. We created all the chances. So wasteful in front of goal. And sometimes you need the kind of what they have got to put the ball in the net for you. It's just unfortunate. Sometimes they need to support attack, you see. And sometimes they were just far away from the goal area. And so sometimes when you are not at the right position and you run from behind, by the time you get there, your legs are tired and you cannot do what you're supposed to do. But in the first half, we should have buried them. In the second half, same. The only chance they got is what hit the bar. That is the only chance they got. And when you are playing with very experienced and organized team and you play well like this and you create the chances and you cannot score, it's frustrating.
Gordon Ablode is head coach of Kimfezo Football Club, assistant coach for Bibiani Gold Stars. Nanaya Omankwa believes his boys were under pressure to perform against relegation-threatened Faisal.
And we're better.
We are under the pressure, but we soak the pressure. At the same time, we keep the ball much. We possess the ball all the time because we want to take them on the break. And fortunately for us, we have a lot of clear chances in the second half. We need to score, but it's one of the those things in the game. So we take it like that. My plan, I told them to just solve the pressure, play normal game, and then cool the game. I think I know that where the Kimfezo are coming from. If you look at the league table, they are on pressure. They will come with pressure on us. So we need to soak the pressure and then play the game. That is what happened at the first half.
Assistant coach for Bibiani Gold Stars, Nanaya Amankwa, speaking there. Let's do the table now. And Aduana Stars have 39 points. Accra Lions are second on 37 points. Bechem United are third on 36 points. And then Hasselhoek are fourth, also on 35 points. Let's move on to some other stuff. And Ghana's junior para athlete Benedict Opoku Abebrese won gold in the long jump category in the ongoing South African Championships, jointly hosted by the South African government and the Commonwealth Sports. Now, the Para Athletic Games brought together athletes from 9 Commonwealth countries, including England, Kenya, and Nigeria. This event is in preparation for the 2023 Trinidad and Tobago Commonwealth Youth Games to be held in August 2023. Let's get to some Premier League news. And former Liverpool striker Gabriel Cissé has backed Arsenal to win the Premier League title this season for the first time in 19 years under Mikel Arteta. The Gunners over the weekend thumped Crystal Palace by 4-1 at the Emirates to go 8 points clear at the top of the table. It is 5 games now without a loss in the Premier League for the Gunners.
They are really strong. They don't dropping points. You know, it's we're talking about the title, so you know I don't think they're gonna give the title up that easily. But it's two really great team, and I wanna go for Arsenal because you know they deserve for the season.
Now, Arsenal's Gabriel Jesus has also been speaking on the secret behind the Gunners' tremendous form this season under Mikel Arteta.
Team are doing so good, you know. I think no one here is like mine, my men, you know, everyone's together. You know, when I get fit, we will show Eddie can help us, and he did it. You know, and Trossard come and dig it as well. So everyone's together. I believe when you have a good relationship with the teammates, everything on the pitch works well, you know. That's why we are top of the league. We are playing good football. We understand each other. So, yeah, it's very good to be family.
Gabriel Jesus of Arsenal speaking there. To some other news, and Manchester United's Marcus Rashford has withdrawn from the England squad to face Italy and Ukraine, while Nick Pope and Mason Mount will also not link up with the Three Lions. Now, Rashford was taken off 7 minutes from time in Sunday's FA Cup win at Old Trafford, with the FA today confirming he will sit out the international doubleheader after picking up a knock. So that's the news so far on Marcus Rashford. Let's get to some other stories. And Sheikh Jassim bin Hamad Al Thani will make his second bid for Manchester United on Wednesday evening. Now, sources in the US say talks last Thursday between Manchester United and Sheikh Jassim's delegation were positive. Now, there is also growing confidence among bidders that the Glazer family, who believe the club is worth at least £6 billion, are willing to sell United. So that's what's going on with the sale. As far as the sale of Man United is concerned, let's get to some basketball and some NBA news to finish. The Dallas Mavericks still struggling without star player Luka Doncic. They lost this time on the road to the Memphis Grizzlies, and then there was also the Chicago Bulls beating the 76ers on the road. The Pacers lost to the Hornets. The Knicks lost to the Timberwolves 140-134 in a game where Julius Randle scored 57 points. The Golden State Warriors finally won a game on the road, and then it was the Sacramento Kings losing to the Utah Jazz. That's all for this morning's edition of Kickoff. My name is Benjamin Nketiah. There's more sports at citysportsonline.com.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Health Tidbits is brought to you by the Nyaho Medical Center.
Welcome to Nyaho Health in the City. Today we look at one of the less talked about health topics, mental health. According to the WHO, it is an integral component of health and well-being that underpins our individual and collective abilities to make decisions, build relationships, and shape the world we live in. Listen, it is okay not to be okay sometimes. Just like taking care of your physical health, taking care of your mental health is equally important. Your mental well-being impacts your thoughts, feelings, behaviors, which can affect your overall quality of life. If you're feeling anxious or depressed, don't suffer alone. Speak to someone you trust, a friend, family member, or counselor. Additionally, seeking professional help is not a sign of weakness, but a brave step towards improving your mental health. Take that first step today to a healthier you. Call or WhatsApp us on 050-143-6662 for further inquiries, or follow Nyaho Medical Center on social media for more Health in the City tips. Nyaho, improving your quality of life.
Health Tidbits was brought to you by the Nyaho Medical Center.
Join the conversation on the City Breakfast Show on Facebook at facebook.com/city97.3, Twitter at twitter.com/city973, and Instagram at instagram.com/city973 with the hashtag CityCBS.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Quite a number of birthday requests coming through on the show today. Happy birthday to a gentle giant, Professor Mahmood A. Mahmood of the University of Ghana Business School. Have a great day from the 2023-2024 students of International Business, MSc, Professor Mahmood A. Mahmood. You know, Boutros Boutros. Salim Ahmed Salim. Mahmood A. Mahmood. And to Mrs. Claudia Annan, staff of Public Debt Investment Unit of the Controller, wishing you good health, long life, and merited favor and blessings from your husband Elias Annan and children Nana, Kukwa, and Irabna. That's coming into Mrs. Also wishing Presbyter Michael Ofolikwe, aka Makosa, Presbyter Laura Patterson, and Mrs. Jeanette Kwasi, aka Jeanette Nomote, all of the Presbyterian Church Bethel Congregation, La, a happy birthday coming from Ni Asite. And this one is coming in from Dede Opaye. It says, happy birthday to my love. God bless you richly. Make you more happy. Well, you actually don't add the name of this, your love. So I'm not really sure what I'm doing here. Okay. Well, if you remember the name, send it to us. And then to Clotilda. Hey, Charlie, name's Deo. Clotilda Araba Gunduna. Hey, coming from your brother Richard Anani to Clotilda Araba Gunduna. And also wishing a foul corner of MTN a happy, happy birthday. She's with the corporate communications team. She's the corporate comms manager, actually. Before, you are too much. You are too big. I need to ask Kweku Dakwankra where your name Falcona came from. I'm sure you, just these fancy people, they've
done things.
Changed something.
They've done things.
Yeah, Falcona. Okay, yeah, as they will say, maybe something. Happy birthday to you, Fua. God's blessings be on you. And today marks the birthday of my sister, Mrs. Rose Mawusime Sokro of the Global Evangelical Church, Lashibi. And my daughter, Fidel Masefakote. Charlie, name's Deo. Clotilda. Fidelma. Charlie, serious names. I pray for continual blessings and protection from the Most High, from the Chase. Today, I want us to hear from the ECG MD. I met him for an interview for my TV show, and I want to, in a yet to be aired interview, I want to play some highlights because,
why?
You know, ECG baffles me. So I actually went into the interview with a lot of curiosity.
And it baffles all of us.
Yeah, and the issues, like for example, ECG have about 21 different meter types.
Why?
I don't know. Yeah, I asked him.
What did he say?
He was, I'll play it.
I'm interested in that one. Nathan is the meter specialist here. He knows all of
them. You need an app. Some you need to tap it. Some you need to stand outside and point.
Yes, it makes sense to
some,
me.
Some you need to pray in tongues and clap your hands.
That's at it. I mean, honestly, you know, until the meter started messing up, you remember there was a period where I had always assumed we all had the same meter.
No.
That's when they sent a list and said, okay, NH1 is not working, PS24 is
on. I said Sunday, I went,
VVV is working.
The worst part, you go, you know, the ones that I have in the places I live now, when the power goes off, you have to take the card and go to the thing and put it on it.
Yeah, that's the one I use.
Then when you finish, you now go to
the place
outlet and go and hope that they have opened.
Open there, you put.
And when you go, hope the person is not eating your kegari and is not angry that day. And if prayer is not 10 p.m. because they'll close.
Yes.
And you sleep in the darkness the whole night. So I didn't understand. I asked him. He explained it. He said they will change it.
And the money, no. Why?
He said they are trying to collect They are owed 5.7 billion, and they'll collect everything between today and 20th April. They'll collect everything. Yeah, they make wild pass. That one, I'll tell you, they are wild. They will collect everything.
But why have they struggled to put all their collect SOEs and things on the
They said the that one too. We spoke about that one too.
Oh, then Charlie, you spoke to the man, no?
1 hour, my brother.
1 hour?
Charlie.
Hey, Charlie, then you drilled.
I shut up. Me shut up. So we'll talk about that. Before that, imagine you had the power to impact the world around you. At the British Council, we see students from all over the world with dreams of a bright future coming together for a quality education that achieves goals. Those who study abroad in countries like the UK are getting much more than just a degree. They are getting a world of valuable experiences. Visit the British Council website to find out how you can own the future. And here's a question. Have you ever wondered how to subscribe to a particular MTN service and how to review, add, or cancel your mobile subscription from one place? Dial *175# to access and manage all your subscriptions everywhere you go. And imagine waking up to the shocking realization that a part of your precious hair has been cut off. just like that. And more frustrating, you probably have been growing these trans for years. Well, introducing the iVest account from Easyway Savings and Loans is a fixed-term investment account that delivers great returns on your investment over a short period of time with no haircut. Open an iVest account today with a minimum of 5,000 CDs and watch your money grow. Call Easyway Savings and Loans on 0550-144-144 or visit easyway.com.gh for more information. iVest, no haircuts. iVest, excellent returns guaranteed. And this inspires us. In the beginning, children in their community used to walk to school. Today, not only are her bamboo bicycles making it easier for these children to get to school, Benis Dapa also employs many women as well. At APSA, this is what we call Africanacity, or Africanacity, the distinct ability of the Ghanaian to always get things done. Africanacity is our inspiration. It defines who we are and what we do. It's our commitment to helping people find a way to get things done. To find out more, go to apsa.com.gh. And while you're at it, grab a cook. There are many, many different varieties. We have the 300 ml classic Coke plastic bottle. It's only 5 CDs. We have the Fanta, the Coke Zero, the Sprite is going for 4 CDs. Then we have the large 1.5 ml. Oh, sorry, 1.5 liter. Yeah, for those who are large and in charge. It's the 20 CD version for Coke Classic and 18 CDs for the Coke Zero. Nathan, I want you to do something. I wanted to play the instrument, you rap under it.
What?
Yeah, if you do, I'll dash you 50 CDs.
But Baloski, something caught my attention.
I want him. Oh, okay, 100. Oh, hey. 100, oh, hey.
1K.
Hey, hey. Oh, bag me. You're going to say something.
Yeah, come on, see.
What's happening there?
The vice president went to KJTR.
Yes.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
And the market is to be open today.
Yes.
Because he said he has spoken to.
So he's speaking to override the.
The experts, like, yeah, because the experts said they needed 5 days to assess.
But that's what power. That's what power means in Ghana.
The big men will talk.
Let's not do.
But that's the thing. But that's the truth.
But it's a
problem. So in Ghana, the people will say they will open it in 1 week. You go and see a big man, a chief, a politician, whatever, a pastor. They'll come and say, "Yeah, Charlie, just consider."
Yeah, but my worry is this, Bernard. You know, I can understand the reason why he would do something like that. We had heard the traders who were going to be affected by this, who had said they disagreed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But this is $100 and something million facility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A part of it caught fire and significant engineering problems reared their head. Mm-hmm. Insurance was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Sprinkler systems did not work.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of things did not work in a building that is not yet 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So these things should have worked.
Mm-hmm.
Experts say we want 5 days to assess the entire issue. So are they telling us that by opening today, if there's a fire, God forbid, the sprinklers will work?
But the vice president has spoken to them.
No, but so, why did the experts also agree?
In Tiasia Yejuma.
In Tiasia Ben. What changed between today is what Tuesday? Changed between Sunday?
Yeah.
When the experts said so they needed 5 days.
Let me guess.
Yesterday.
Let me guess what happened. So they'll probably say, if I say, why do you need 5 days when people have to? So we need to do this, that. Okay, I say, okay, what do you need to happen for you to be able to do that? Can you do that while they are still working? So okay, we'll find a way because you survive. And okay, so maybe we'll come at 6 o'clock in the morning and do this before they go, and then when they close, we'll do this. That's what happens in Ghana. So when a big man talks to you, you have to listen.
I understand the need to appease.
Let me tell you something. Haven't you heard when like somebody says maybe he's aggrieving a political party that they've done something to him, and then some big man will call him, somebody who his father respects, and he say, Charlie Goffert, you know, you're a young guy, the way Ghana works, when they talk to you, you have to listen. So when a big man talks, you have to listen.
Okay,
that's how Ghana works.
Okay,
you're asking about
they should not come and talk to us when they bends again.
No, you're asking me about democracy earlier, and you're asking me about the US. we should learn a lesson from this. The way we do things, that's how we get the outcomes we get. So this is Ghana, this is how we are.
TIG.
Yeah, they will talk to you at dawn.
So have they assured nobody is using cylinder to cook there now?
The vice president has spoken to them. It's okay.
And he has dealt. So means the vice president is supposed to nobody use gas to cook there again.
They've assured him that
they won't cook again.
They've assured him.
But who gives the answers? You better be you.
That's the way we do things here.
No, but it's not right. No, see, my concern, the reason why I'm a bit for, because it just, like, I was thinking about it after the newspaper review, that we had just read a story yesterday during the newspaper review that experts from NADMO, Ghana Fire Service, the Kumasi Municipal Assembly, the market authorities themselves had said, look, we need to check why the systems that have been designed in the building to make sure that this does not happen failed.
Yes.
Out of it, we realized that fire insurance had not been renewed.
Yeah.
The sprinkler system did not work.
True.
So, in the 50 stores that have been destroyed, for that to happen, we need to shut down everything and make sure the structural integrity of the whole building
is intact. So, this is what the experts are saying.
This is what they are saying. The traders said, no, it's a very big place. Yeah. If it affects 50, close down just the parts that have been affected and leave the rest for us because we will lose trade.
But that sounds reasonable.
No, but Bernard, it's a system.
So it's like standard operating procedure.
If the fire sprinkler does not work on the fourth floor, what makes you think that it is going to work on the first floor?
So you agree with the experts who said, let's keep the market closed for 1 week.
Because, Bernard, this is $100-something million worth of property.
Yeah.
So if something doesn't work, let the experts, and the experts say, give us one. That is why they are experts. So these are engineers.
Now, I may sound like I'm being...
I get the need to appease.
I may be...
But come on.
I may sound facetious, but... That's actually what happened, because I don't know what discussion they had. I don't know what they discussed, but the truth is that usually when a big man goes and they appeal to him and say, Charlie, vice president has gone to KJTR, he wants to be popular. I mean, they're even prophesying that he's going to be the next president, GM. So he has to also do something. So in his presidential, whatever, he wants to
be
popular.
But by doing the rising.
But what makes you think that at the end of the day, they will still achieve their goals?
Of?
So,
was the goal to fix the building, or was the goal to make the traders happy?
But this is what happens in institutions and systems don't work, right? So, you have this guy who's like probably chief fire officer, and some people have spoken and discussed the thing, and they've ratified that despite what the traders are saying, once and for all, I'm going to make sure that there's no fire. But then, Akwesidai happens. Vice president is in town. A lot of things are happening. Yeah. People are accompanying.
In a country where, Bernard, we have market fires like the way we change our shirts.
But that's the other problem. Why? Okay. You want to push this point, right?
I'm just frustrated.
If the market people who bear the brunt of the market fires
are okay with it, what am I complaining about?
Do you know? Because almost every week there's a market fire. Yeah. Now, the things they are supposed to do to change the market fires, they don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Talk to the fire service people. They do the legal connection. They will not create right of way. They will build and put their things over the water hydrant. The Ghana Water Company and the fire service people will go and talk. The market people don't want to change. Okay, so I get your frustration that we should let institutions work, fire service, the assembly, and all these things. But in Ghana, you need to ask yourself, why are the market? It's for your own good. You've had 50 stores burn. We say close the market for 1 week. Let's solve the problem. He said, no. We want to sell tomorrow. So we went to appeal to the vice president to come and convince the people. So you will live in your confusion. So your sin will remain. You know, there are people who want to change. There are some. So that's what I say. For sectors who want to change, and this thing I've said about KJTR market, it may not apply to all markets. Some market people may say, we are tired of the fires, so we want to stop. So you can say this for drivers. You can say this for farmers. You can say this for many groups. If you don't decide that you want to change, in the society we run, where people are not really leading, but they are following. Because what's happening is followership. This is the tail wagging the dog. Because true leadership will say, what do you mean? You've had a fire, property destroyed, you want somebody to die? No, we are not going to do that.
Something that costs us millions of dollars.
So in societies that are more advanced than us, they get scarred by such a big incident that they vow that never in our lifetime we allow this to happen. So you have a situation where laws are created because maybe a child gets abused in a certain condition. How come social welfare didn't stop
this thing?
Then they will go to parliament, make a law, and people will say, as long as we live, this will never happen in our time. That's how societies advance. But we is like, no, it's God. If God doesn't want the fire to burn, it won't burn. If God has... It doesn't. So like, look, they went to meet some people and I don't want to sort of attack somebody's faith. But there's a balance between believing in God and taking responsibility for your actions. Like, oh, send me, I'm paying, it won't happen. So the fire cry is God. So let's give it to God and let's live like that. So this God will keep burning you every month. What kind of God is that? That every month he'll give you fire. That's his will. But this is what people believe. And if you don't change that fundamentally, you can't do anything. So if you say, what kind of system do we run? People's minds have essentially been closed. So now they see you as an enemy. A media guy goes and says, why has fire service allowed the market to open? He says, oh, it's okay. When you call him, pick the phone. Because the big man has said. Because the people want the market open because for populism. And true leadership will say, no, we are going to keep the market closed.
Until we figure this out.
Until
we are sure that when there's a fire, the sprinkler will open.
But the objective is, that's the two things. The people themselves, they don't seem to see, they are not. I will sit here and give you dates that we had fires. Okay. Have the people actually sat down and counted the number of fires they've had? Or have they taken stock of the number of market fires we've had since even last year, March? Mm-hmm. They don't care. So you go, they are sitting there selling. Some preacher will come and stand there with his megaphone, pray, bind demons, talk about plenty of things. And then they'll say, the person who's doing you that don't sell your goods. I mean, do something, do all things. Okay, then the women, when they finish that, then they'll turn to their TV and watch their telenovela, do their gossip. And then they'll sell whatever they want to sell. That's how they want to live.
Mm.
Now, I think true leadership says, no, that's not what you need to do. You deserve better. Give them a better vision of a market. Say, you can't live like this. How can you be selling a market and be going to toilet in a tin tomato kunku? Like how? You are selling cloth and you are urinating in something in a shop because, how? Even animals can't live like this. This is what you say. Say, no, you can't do that. We are going to sanitize the market. But you see, it's a double-edged sword. If the people are not willing to go, some people are saying, Charlie, I can't kill myself.
Mm.
You see that song they sing, I can't kill myself. So we have a lot of imposters pretending to be leaders. So they try one, two, and then people don't agree, no. Because again, leadership is not a popularity contest. You see, which is the comeback of the democracy. There are things you want to do. There are things I want to implement in my house. They are not very popular.
Mm.
Exam week is coming. No TV. Phone. No bicycle. Nothing. Daddy. No. Now, it's either you want to be popular, it's either you want the people to be better, I want them to be happy. Okay, now sometimes happiness and popularity will merge at the end, but for many times, things that will help you will give you pain. In fact, they even tell us in teaching children that before you teach a child, you must break their will. So, there are teachers when we're in primary school, they come and crack jokes, they will sell things, we are happy. The teachers who, look, I forever regret I didn't go to one particular class because that teacher, we are told she used very draconian methods to make sure you write well. My handwriting has never improved because I didn't go to that teacher's class. Well, in that class, I thought, I didn't go to her class, so she didn't beat me.
Yeah, you had saved yourself.
But now, my handwriting is worse. Do you understand me? So, we have to decide whether we want to be happy or want to be better. And in this so-called democracy we are running, we are just doing populism. So, the people build on what I was. Oh, let's do. Look, we will not get anywhere with this mindset. So, give them the market. Let them go. And you know the funny thing? They will get another fire. We will go and mourn. Oh, it's so sad. Fire said, what can we do? The media will go and report. We'll cry small. We'll go back. We'll go to church. We'll give offering. They'll do the fire again. This is how we live. All right? If the people don't change, and you see, if you don't think that what you are going through is hell, that I deserve better, you will stay in that condition forever. So, Charlie, KJT, enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah. Back for music.
I'll leave them be.
Enjoy your fire.
I'll leave them be.
Yeah, enjoy your fire, Charlie. By the way, good morning, Bernard and team.
Morning.
Charlie, Real Tea Brewers Association will treat your team with some hot, fresh lemongrass on Thursday in anticipation of the bazaar on Saturday.
Real what?
It is called Bev Real Tea Brewers.
Oh, okay.
Bev Real Tea Brewers will treat your team, that suggests the people in this room, with hot, fresh lemongrass tea and chibom. You know lemongrass tea?
Yeah, but we had some the other time from, yes. You know.
Now, then she says, back to your village bazaar, dear. Bazaar. Yes. You know, you introduced me to that woman.
Yeah.
And she brought some tea that I...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
killer tea.
I tell you, she
champion tea.
She was discovered during COVID. They will tea and they will tea.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, evening tea.
Evening tea.
Yeah, tea, you know. So she's coming as part of those who are selling the drinks.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you know, last year at the bazaar, she gave me some iced tea.
Oh! know.
Yeah, and she also does hot tea.
Yeah, I know. It's a hot tea that I partake in.
I so I didn't know she was called Beverly Tea Brewer.
Taker of tea.
Yes. So she says that she's bringing lemongrass tea with Tibom.
Hey, she has added Tibom to the it was stand alone. No?
Where in Dansoman can we find her, by the way?
You know Dansoman about Watered Gardens.
Yes. Oh, I think
yes. Two buildings after Watered Gardens.
Going to Kifistam
on your left.
Yes,
you see a very small wooden structure with her thing on.
Well, she will be at the beverage side. You know, the bazaar has the food side, the snack side, and then the beverage side. So Bev Real Tea Brewers, please ask for her. Her tea can save a life. Her tea can save a life. And it's on Saturday and Sunday. It's called Back to Your Village Food Bazaar. So please, on Thursday, bring the tea and the
Tibum.
No, actually, bring it on Friday.
I said about Friday, man.
Thursday.
Yeah, Friday.
Friday, you are not here.
No, I'll come. Is it Sky? Listen, Sky is doing some galamsey.
Let us eat the tea. This is even the reason why we must eat the tea on Thursday.
Sky is doing some galamsey. He'll come back on Thursday. So he'll be on the show on Friday.
Yeah.
And you see, his laughter will push the tea further.
But you see.
So we need it on Friday.
You see, so Bibi and Kawa.
Charlie, madam, please bring the tea on Friday. Lemongrass tea with Tibom. And she also had other tea she brought. I think she did about four varieties that day.
Yeah, I don't remember. Cinnamon.
Yes.
There was the lemon one. Yes. There was, she had a couple other combos.
So, but those of you who want to experience her tea,
Meet us
at the bazaar on Saturday and Sunday.
Where is the bazaar?
So the bazaar is at the AMA forecourt, and we've split it into the food, the middle, the north, the south, and then we also have the tea and the beverages, and then we have the small chops, aka Achomo. Oh yeah, but that challenge is not easy. So it's Friday for the tea and the chibo.
Charlie,
Nathan, why are you laughing? No.
Somebody's asking whether the Ataji people will be there.
Is it the Ataji people or the Ataji milk people?
I don't know, but the person says will the Ataji people
Ataji milk. Yeah. Oh, they'll be there. They'll be there. They'll be there,
I'm fascinated by how the Ataji milk industry has blown up.
I'm also actually, you know, the beverage side of the bazaar, there will even be chewables.
Yeah.
You know those who bring
snacks,
those things. I'm told the Ataji, there are different varieties. There's a milk and there's also the raw one you chew.
The raw Ataji.
Charlie, somebody says he's right in front of the house
looking for the.
But she doesn't get you, but she says he's going to look for her now.
She comes
in the evening. Mother, you won't get in the morning. Yeah,
the only place you get in the morning is at the bazaar.
Yeah, she works only in the evening.
that was the whole story. So we'll see me. I'll be there. If you are looking for me, you'll see me near the tea place. I'll
that's
pass
your
there.
Spa.
I'll pass there in the beginning. In the meantime, it's the Imperial Insure and Win promo. From now till 31st March, insure your vehicle with Imperial General Assurance and win handsome rewards. We're giving you a free one-year life insurance cover as part of your motor insurance cover. Call 0302-788-955 or talk to any of our agents across the country for further information. Follow us on our social media handles as well. Imperial General Assurance, solid protection with great rewards, including fuel coupons, gift vouchers, special souvenirs, and many, many more. Nathan, I'm not taking my offer. Meanwhile, the Cyber Security Authority in exercising its mandate has started the licensing of cyber security service providers and accreditation of cyber security establishments and their professionals in the country. Now, this activity is between 1st March and 30th September. For more information, go to our website csa.gov.gh. Note that the CSPs who operate without license after 30th September will be liable to pay a penalty. In accordance with the Cyber Security Act, individuals and organizations are accordingly advised to regularize and get their license. Imagine settling down behind a steaming bowl of delicious Indomie cooked just the way you like it. The great thing is that you can do it with an exciting new flavor. Beef it up with the new Indomie Beef. It's the newest addition to the great tasting Indomie. that you know and love. This means you can enjoy a delightful meal with the appetizing aroma of beef to fill your stomach and leave you smiling. In just a few minutes, the Indomie beef is ready to eat. Indomie tastes great. Well, here are some comments on the situation in Kejetia, Nathan.
Very interesting comments. This one is from Albert. He says, we lack responsibility and accountability at every level.
Okay.
Interesting. Another one, Bernard and team, the point is, where lies professionalism? A professional will say, sorry, Mr. President, this needs to be done. Who occupies a building without a fire permit? It's the basis for issuing occupation permits, and heads will roll in some prudent jurisdictions. Okay.
Well, coming up next is tech and social media trends brought to you by Vodafone. The One Ghana promo is here. With just one city, you have 20 minutes talk time to all other networks and 1 gig of data every day between 5 a.m. and 11:59 a.m. Dial *530#, subscribe and enjoy longer conversations and browsing. The Vodafone One Ghana promo is the best value offer in town and it's easy on your pocket. Save big when you subscribe to the Vodafone One Ghana promo. Vodafone, further together. So we come into the trends with Nathan.
Alright, let's get into the trends. Medical is trending. Yesterday he granted an interview and he said some very interesting things. He was no longer working with his manager Flo Deli, and people are commenting on all of those things. Other things trending, Black Stars trending, Chris Hughton, Thomas Partey, all of them related. Chris Hughton was unveiled yesterday, spoke about creating a winning team, spoke about Thomas Partey's role in the team and all of that. There's a very interesting one on my trends, hashtag Sack Ramaphosa.
Hey.
Ramaphosa must go.
Charlie, you South can Africans see that
this is from South Africa, and they are not happy with their president Cyril Ramaphosa. Now, on the tech side, Bernard, we are back to more job losses and job cuts. Amazon to lay off another 9,000 workers.
So
that's the story that's coming in from Amazon. Now, the company rolled out or put out this announcement yesterday, and they said they planned to cut another 9,000 positions in the second round of mass layoffs in recent months. Now, the company will be targeting roles in its cloud computing unit, human resources division, advertising, and Twitch, according to a letter to employees from CEO Andy Jassy. So that's what's going on at Amazon.
It's almost like every tech company is cutting. All right, thank you very much. That was Tech and Social Media Trends.
This is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation. The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Me tell you my yedu timba to me so I can go up for this so be na mumpia ya me de mame me fanepa mentia obi be say jamarap
yeah, they are booming, yeah. And just four time, I keep buying and touch ya. I love what you want and come for the chivia. You go to me, crata, met you, Jedia. Messiah, and I joke, and a penny of ya. Messiah, I am a moment to take you. I didn't want Cassa, oh, mommy, and can't show. So, your penny, Cassa, come in patch out. And you are one of Fanta, hotel. I will frack it to our wife, so I'm going to show. I just let a fine tickle. Oh, yeah.
6 minutes past eight. See the breakfast show. A few quick birthday requests. Good morning. Blessed birthday to my amazing, caring, lovely, kind, and faithful wife, Ara Mensima, ST Mensima, Michocho Mucho. God bless you with more happy, blissful years from your husband, Okunying Boaz Olan Hackman, PRO for the East Municipal Assembly, to his beautiful wife, it called Araba Mensima. Also coming in from Eric Kwachi of Yahans International, to his wife, she's Mrs. Louisa Kwachi, my perfect Gambian queen. She does the best jollof from Gambia. Big ups to her. Coming in from your husband Eric of your hands. Get ready to elevate your driving experience with a vehicle from Toyota Ghana for a limited time only. Toyota is offering a super bundle offer on any of the following vehicles: the 1.4 liter Starlet, the 1.8 liter Corolla Cross Adventure, the 1.5 liter Rush. Buying any of these mentioned vehicles within this bundle offer gives you the following: an irresistible price discount, a 1 year free comprehensive vehicle insurance cover, a 1 year free home insurance cover, and a 1 year free service. Terms and conditions apply. Visit any of our showrooms in Accra, Tema, Kumasi, Tamale, Takwa, or Takrady, or call 0302-910206. Toyota, superior quality.
Now, the Heritage Christian College is saying that you can come, or you should come, and take their BSc Nursing degree program today. It's accredited by the Ghana Tertiary Education Commission and the Nursing and Midwifery Council. You study in an ultra-modern and well-equipped skills lab, and you get proper hands-on training for the job market through technology-driven teaching and learning, coupled with entrepreneurial training, financial support, and personal development. They have other programs as well: BBA programs, BSc Information Technology, BSc Information Security, and Bachelor of Theology. Call them on 0547-777-731 or 0202-298-399. Find them at Amasaman behind the Olympic Stadium, and you can visit their website, hcuc.edu.gh. Heritage Christian College, University training compassionate entrepreneurial leaders. Imagine you had the power to impact the world around you. At the British Council, they see students from all over the world with dreams of a bright future coming together for a quality education that achieves goals. Those who study abroad in countries like the UK are getting much more than just a degree. They are getting a world of valuable experiences. Visit the British Council website to find out how you can own your future. Now, the next COVID-19 or the just ended COVID-19 vaccination campaign, it happened between March 15 and March 19. I'm sure a new one will show up soon. But the Ministry of Health, the Ghana Health Service, and its partners are reminding everybody that when that opportunity brings itself, go and get vaccinated against COVID-19. Vaccination reduces COVID-19 disease severity, prevents hospitalization and death. Continue to observe the COVID protocols to live a good life. This message is from MOA, GHS, and partners. Now, if you want something great to eat, Indomie beef is just for you. It's the newest addition to the great tasting Indomie you know and love. That means you can enjoy a delightful meal with the appetizing aroma of beef to fill your belly and leave you smiling. So if you want a quick meal with a pleasing flavor, do your taste buds a favor with the new Indomie beef flavor. And in just a few minutes, your Indomie beef is ready to eat. Indomie tastes great.
Okay, 10 minutes past 8. Let's give you some highlights of that conversation with the ECG Samuel Dubik Mahama
Esquire.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts around their revenue. So they basically want to rake back 5.7 billion CDs in 1 month. Now, the context for this was that between 2017 and 2022, the company had lost 13.1 billion CDs in technical, commercial, and system losses. All right. So we use that as the basis for the interview at the beginning. A couple of other points came up. So here's an excerpt of that.
Postpaid is pretty easy. Yeah. In the case of, let's say, SLT customers.
Mm-hmm. What's SLT?
Those are special low tariff industries.
Okay, mining companies.
Yes.
big factories.
As part of your budget for the year is a line item that says what? Electricity.
Yeah.
So what's your reason for not paying?
The economy.
How can the economy be a reason? What about us?
We are not selling.
What about us?
We are broke.
What about us? What about the company that is actually buying and giving you something to at least be paying something on account? Let us be seeing something to let us also look viable.
So this exercise, if my head of finance calls and says, okay, we owe 20,000. Mm-hmm. We want to do 5,000 a month.
I won't do.
Payment terms.
But you have a prepaid meter in your home.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not. Here, we have prepaid here. We don't owe.
But wait.
They don't owe. Class. I don't even
talk about here.
Uh-huh.
You have a prepaid meter at home.
Yes.
You prepay what you use.
Yes.
If he says that, is he being fair to you?
Well, but postpaid is, I think.
But there are some residential customers too that are postpaid. Don't get me wrong.
But quick question though. In 100% of residential customers, what percent is post, what percent is pre? Do you know?
Yeah. So I can tell you, out of 2.5 million postpaid customers, 5,000 of them are SLT customers.
The big ones?
Yeah. Under the SLT, we have 1,004 of them that we know them as SLT. And the rest, we see them as mini SLTs.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
So the rest are all what? Residential customers.
Good.
The bulk of the millions are residential customers. And let's not forget, these SLT customers constitute 40% of ECG's revenue.
Wow. Do they use 40% of your power?
They use 40% of our power. So they constitute 40%.
No, I want to dispute that, because for a long time, you've been charging commercial users more than you charge domestic users. So I put it to you that this 40% of your revenue is probably 30% of the power or less, because one of the major challenges, indeed, I was on a panel with, AGI, PRC was there. Sechu Makwaba put it to Ishmael Akka that you've been charging Ghanaian factories more than you charge Ghanaian homes.
But that's a PRC problem. It's not an ECG problem.
Yeah, but so I'm saying that if you say...
So industry is what has been carrying...
Yeah, but why should they pay more for using power for productive purposes?
But that's the truth. That's something that has to be looked at. I am with him on that one.
Okay.
I am not going to dispute that. No. I am with him on that one. Mm-hmm. Because people have even found a way to have mini factories in their home on residential tariffs.
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
So for me, I think... The minister came up with some very interesting guidelines as to how he feels tariffs should go.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's worth looking at them, including even at some point, even with the power purchasing that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
He now wants us to do our best to get new power purchase agreements in cities.
Okay.
And as much as it's going to be difficult because the source of funding for these kind of EPC projects are always these foreign banks and in US dollars, that's going to be a major challenge. But we'll try and do our best to that effect.
Mm.
But I think PRC should take a look at it and as a nation, see what we can do about that.
To be fair to the PRC, I think in their latest announcement, there was an attempt to correct that anomaly. We don't necessarily agree with the 30% increment, but when I look at the tariff structure, it seemed as if they were sort of lowering the weighting for commercial users and trying to balance out for domestic users. He appears very confident. He says you collect all his 5 billion in 1 month.
With your help.
And if you don't pay, he will cut you. Now, I wanted to come back to you on a couple of things. The Auditor General report indicted ECG for breaching the public procurement law, and I'm sure you've seen this. I think it's the 2021 version, where they said that up to 221 million CDs worth of contracts were given without PPA approval. Now, this is prior to your coming, but you're on the board.
Did they list which products? Which contracts?
I would have been happy. I don't have the full report. I have the summary.
Because you know...
But you know about this.
I know about this.
So you shouldn't be asking me that.
But I'm asking because, let's say, for example, if it has to do with random stuff that do not fall within, but you know what, before we even go there, there's been this conversation about ECG being a covered entity and not a covered entity. There's been reports as to and write-ups that says ECG doesn't have to go to PPA for approval. Some also say ECG has to go to PPA for approval. For example, a line falls down now. Customer wants power. We need to purchase stuff. What do I do? Do I approve for purchasing to restore power in the next 1 hour, or I now need to wait and go for PPA approval? What do I do?
Well, you are a lawyer. Me, I just have Section 40 of the Section 40 of the PPA Act. PPA Act requires procurement entities, which I believe you are one, to obtain approval of the PPA when it becomes necessary to apply
entities,
direct sourcing for goods and services.
Wait, procurement entities, does it include limited liability companies that belong to the state?
I'm not sure why you're asking me this question.
Because it's a debate that it hasn't got an end yet. So I don't want to wade into
that. But whilst the debate is going on, why don't we just do what the law says?
But in trying to do what the law says, I'm telling you the truth. I will fall foul moving forward, left, right, center.
Kali, they reviewed 85.
So what we have tried to do is
and
to
they, okay, sorry, you asked me a question. I have it here now. So, Auditor General reviewed 85 foreign and local orders of goods, noted a total amount of 220 million CDs of the worth of contracts. Now, some of the procurements. Now, some of the items procured using single source, 33 kV polymeric pin insulator lightning arresters, plastic cable cover tiles, 11 kV polymeric pin insulators, HRC fuses, security plastic seals, poly-mounted transformers, 11 kV lighting arresters, 11 kV dropout fuse gear, a lot of things, silicon galvanized angle cross mass, among others, and then stay equipment, D-ion, handheld GPS. So we don't know the extent of it seems as if that's your
problem. Let me explain something to you. These are things that are not manufactured in Ghana. Two, ECG practices what you call engineer's pricing. ECG has developed its own procurement manual because it has been working over time, has certain specific people it deals with. You understand? ECG has sent, to the best of my knowledge, even through the Minister for Public Sector, Mr. Joseph Kujo, we've sent our procurement manual and everything to PPA. In my humble opinion, by doing that, I believe the PPA is on notice. Because now, for example, if you don't have cable cover tiles in stock after working, you're going to leave a live wire.
Using the emergency and the... But are you saying that all the things I've listed here are things that you needed to get, otherwise somebody would die or something?
So nobody would die, but service will be truncated. That's what I'm saying. For example, you go out there to work. You talked about insulators.
Yeah.
You must have enough in stock at every given moment. Because the rate at which transformers get overloaded, when you have to work on them, what do you need? There are certain key component things that you need across your network. I think we are even digressing from the conversation.
No, I'm not. Actually, a company that is bleeding financially, I understand the exigency argument you are making, but there's also value for money, all right? And your procurement manual may have to be re-looked at.
It has been. I'm telling
and
you.
And still enjoins and allows you that space.
The new procurement manual that has been sent allows for that space because of how the system called ECG.
Does it list the specific items that should go under this regime?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And also under that, what it does is this. It points out by engineering pricing.
Okay.
You understand? We go through a rigorous system to know the price that we will pay for something. We don't care what your price is. We are going by this price. So if you won't do the business, what? Step aside and let's find somebody who will do the business at X price. I don't know if you get my point.
I'm not, it's not about me, but I just feel like, initially when I read the report, management of ECG, I think this was before you, they actually responded that though they have noted the recommendation and when required, they will seek the approval.
Yeah, but I'm heading.
It's like, we are to your bed, So it's, and for me, if you are coming to the public to say, look, there are a lot of people who feel that you are passing on your inefficiency to us in the tariff increases, which were announced. There's a general feeling that a company that makes 13 billion in losses in 5 years of different kinds should not be increasing tariffs as often as they do. So if there's a conversation about the way you use the money you get, to get, you are here on the TV because the public, you need to get the public buying to do what you do. So you also must be clean in the eyes of the public.
So let me correct something.
Uh-huh.
You can go and check the new tariff regime.
Mm-hmm.
ECG only got whatever ECG asked for in increment. ECG didn't get it. ECG got just 1% at the last.
The 29% is 1%.
ECG out of it.
So you wanted 209. You want how much?
No, pause.
Hey.
You see, when you are talking about tariff, it's, there's a breakdown.
Okay.
There's generation cost. There's transmission service charge one. There's generation cost one at the top. There's transmission service charge one. Transmission service charge two.
Okay.
Distribution service charge one. Distribution service charge two. Okay.
Following.
Distribution service charge one and two is supposed to come to the distributor, which is ECG. Transmission service charge one and two is supposed to go to who? Gridco, the transmitter. And the generation charge goes to the IPPs. Okay? Now, even so, under the cash waterfall mechanism, all the money is put into one basket and divided under as a percentage formula. Do you get what I mean?
Yes, I'm following.
So, in effect, if out of all of this, ECG is entitled, I think, 26%. If ECG is getting 26% and ECG is not able to build itself out of the 26%, because after you pay salaries, you pay everything, you are left with just 15 million Ghana cedis. If you owe a meter company $30 million and you are giving him 2 million cedis, if you were them, would you supply any meters? You understand?
I follow you.
So the time has come where there must be a holistic approach to the problems of the energy sector. So and my brother, that is, this is the point where we need to keep politics.
But you're not dismissing the finding. You're basically saying, let's have a conversation about what works.
Yes.
I agree
because,
with you.
Because this is me coming in now. This has been going on for years. Okay? It's not giving us what we are looking for. If we are going to go to point B, what are we going to do?
Fair enough.
Are we just going to... We cannot just adopt for what it's worth. You understand? Let's look at what we've been doing. Let's find out what the loopholes are and let's plug them.
You, there's a report that you owed, I think it was 600 million to Bui Power Authority. I'm not sure of the figure. But you do owe quite a number of your
independent supply. Power producers. Yes, we do.
So, I'm a bit confused. It's because you are here saying people should owe you. You are collecting your money, but you owe somebody 600 million.
When I collect the money, that's how I pay them.
But how did you accumulate such so much debt? We just want, just we as a national institution.
Yes,
600 million cedis.
But you see, the thing is, when you produce, when you produce, you are paid. So if you are not collecting efficiently, you don't give the person his requisite what you collect money.
Okay.
So that is where the gap is. So the conversation about collection and beefing it up is much more critical today than it was yesterday. Because the gap that is creating now is not a funny gap anymore. So we need to push hard and push this drive to close the gap as quickly as possible.
So
let's not forget, it's not bad to owe people. It's about the cash flow. Careful, Didi. But when you have some amount of cash flow that the person can have their operational expenses and all of that covered, there's not much of a pushback. But in this instance, I can understand them. It's not coming through.
So when I listened to the energy minister recently on his views about the power sector generally, he spoke a bit about the take or pay, where he wants us to move to take and pay. So I understand that there are lots of structural issues we've inherited, which have to be done to make ECG a better company. But then he also, I'm not sure if the cash waterfall mechanism works for you, or whether you feel that that can be, because for me, if ECG, if money comes, yours must be given to you directly.
Yeah.
Is this something you're going to push within the sector to, because there's also this whole conversation about our utilities being inefficient.
Yeah.
Isn't the cash waterfall mechanism hiding who is really doing well?
Wow. You know what? It's not a perfect system.
Okay.
But we are trying to work with it to make it a better system.
Mm.
Okay. So I would say, instead of me sitting here criticizing it, I would rather, again, we take a holistic approach. Because all of this has become necessary because what? Collections or revenue is bad. Believe you me, if every independent power producer was getting up by 100 million Ghana cedis monthly from ECG, we would not be having this conversation. You understand?
Okay.
And that is where I want to try, with the help of ECG staff who have bought into the idea, that's where we as a team want to drive this company to.
Let's talk about meters, because you keep making it seem as if this whole debt is because people are not paying. But I was in this country where almost every week on my radio show, people were talking about meters not functioning. People want power they can't get. In fact, last 2 weeks, somebody was calling desperately Wager after Kasua area. They were standing there. The thing wasn't working. Two issues. You have different types of meters. I've gone to buildings where one people, they use the card. Another people, they use the app. Another group, you stand outside and point. And I'm told they are over 20 or whatever. I mean, how does that even make sense?
You see, if you watch the trend, at every material moment, everybody is trying to look for the best and efficient meter for ECG.
Is that not a procurement matter? Obia Kofani deal about with some of the meters not even making sense.
For me, I haven't purchased any different meter brand.
You haven't come to add to the problem.
I have decided that, yes, there is a shortage, but how many meter manufacturing companies are in Ghana? Six. They have, some people say assembling plants, some people say manufacturing. To me, it's the same. Because nobody manufactures fully. People bring components all around. Even with the new cars, they've written on it manufactured in Ghana also. So for me, these six companies are the only companies that we look at.
Okay.
These companies are going to give us these meters with service level agreements, help us meter, and then we pay them. And then we pay them from our marginal revenue with increments. You understand what I mean?
But would there be an attempt to, I don't know whether it's rationalized, to harmonize? Because if you have...
It has been done. So all the meters. That's what we call, that was given to us by MIDA, the MMS system, meter management system.
Maybe my, I'm not so, but the meters are still different.
They are still different.
Because I have meters where you have to go. So for example, why, okay, I want to buy power. Where I live, the house that I own, I buy with the app.
Yeah.
So if my light goes off at 1 a.m., I have power.
Yeah.
Where I work, if you don't go and stand with a card, you can go. The woman said, "Nye nye juma." Like, so, why should I be looking for power at 1 a.m.?
And not being able to.
Masa.
Hopefully in the next month or two, with my digital process, that will be a story of the past. Because of the NFC in the back of your phone, when the SDKs and the APIs are done, you'd be able to touch your card to the back of your phone and vent from the comfort
so
of your
even with already existing meters, I need to use the touch.
Yes.
When I install the NFC, near-field communication on my phone,
you should be able to use the card to purchase from the comfort of your phone.
You are promising that by end of 2023. So there'll be no need to queue?
There'll be no need to queue.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
For all meter types?
If your meter is the one that has to go directly on the app, go directly on the app and purchase. Have you tried the
No, app? The one that I have, you go on the app, you put your meter number there, and then you use Momo to pay, and then it reflects on your system.
That's it. So
but that was for only a few, there are not many.
Yeah, so I'm trying to migrate a lot of the already existing meters into...
So those who have the card can use the NFC, put the card on their phone.
And purchase. So very soon there will be a proper launch when we are done with all of this. We are going to be customer-driven. Now, even postpaid customers can sit in the comfort of their homes and pay their bills from the app.
Wow. No, yeah, I promise you. So end of year, December, I will call you back. Today is March, eh? Okay. We are good at those things.
I know.
How does a serious organization have 21 different types of meters for Ghanaians? And you know that in Ghana, level of education may not be the highest. So you're already confusing the system. And then add to that, you are not selling the power at maybe, you are not using like certified filling stations or something, some kiosk in Teshi, some, you know, with no standard. So sometimes you go, the girl is eating wache, she looks at your face, send me by my pong.
Or the third party vendors.
My brother, I'm buying a product from you to work. This is crazy.
They actually have a big problem with me even as you speak, but that
why?
Problem will be solved. They said we moved their quota purchases from 5,000 to 20,000.
What does that mean?
So it means that they have to spend more in purchasing of quota for sale. So it's too much.
So it means you are trying to raise the level of the units. So they are bigger businesses with more serious.
Exactly.
But they don't see it that way.
They don't see it that way. They want. But you see, what even necessitated that is when you have a network, mm-hmm. and you keep having people frequenting the network, it doesn't give other customers the best of experience. Now, with the quota purchase, you are supposed to be a bulk purchaser. 5,000 is your consumption here, this building.
And you are selling that in your home.
Yeah. So he comes into the system, hits the system at 6 a.m. at 5,000. He's hitting the system again in the next hour and a half. After another hour and a half, he's hitting again. He keeps hitting till about 8 p.m. So you'd have hit the system more than 10, 15 times.
He doesn't have enough capacity to sell.
So what we are saying is, yes, it will affect others. Mm. But start now. We will think about a process of how to contain those down there along the line, hopefully by the end of the month, where we can have, let's say, super vendors who can purchase in excess of some amount. Because I cannot say 20,000 at 2.5% commission, then 10 million also at 2.5. It's not fair. Time value of money. You understand? So these are some of the new business models that we want to bring in.
Do you have the support of the PURC and also the ministry? Because in Ghana, a lot of these things are political, that you may be trying to solve a problem, but as soon as there's a pushback, so like road tolls, all vendors of ECG may decide that they are going on strike because they say the new MD is trying to take them out of business because it's bringing technology. So that then depends on whether the appointing authority has bought into the vision. We are next to an election year.
I must say I have the 100% support of the ministry in this journey.
Okay.
Nobody will take away the business of third-party vendors because, believe you me, my father up till today still writes on a piece of paper, even though he has a computer sitting in front of him.
Mm.
There are some people that are used to certain things and they do not want to change.
Okay.
We still need the third-party vendors to take care of those people. That's why I said there's going to be a super vendor who prepays the company what we need and then deals with them on a different network.
Okay.
So it doesn't have to be hitting the ECG network every minute, every second to cause all of these customer bad experiences. Do you get what I mean? There should be a structure to benefit people. Even when we start these new things where you can buy with the card, you'll be surprised that people still come to the ECG office saying that the third-party vendors have done something to their system so they don't get the stipulated amount. So ECG is the only place that they should buy from. So you see, there's what do you call it? There's speculation. There's all of these things in how we do business in Ghana.
Okay.
So no matter what, there's going to be a different category at every point in time that needs to be taken care of.
Are you going to assure us that with your tenure, we are not going to get another set of meters? Because that seems to be the practice where almost every 4 years, we get new meter names and new meter types.
So the truth of the matter is this. Thanks to MIDA and Millennium Challenge, the meter system has been rationalized.
Okay.
They now have something called the MMS, Meter Management System.
Good.
If for some reason these six companies are not performing and somebody wants to come in, the first criteria is you need to have a factory here. Because when the meters are failing, we need to see you. There has to be a service level agreement for the replacement of those meters. So we need to see you. Mm. Secondly, the meters have now been rationalized because of MMS.
Okay.
So the MMS specifications are there. Nobody can change them. So if your meter cannot, and the MMS allows you to have real-time visibility of the meter in your home. So if you tamper with the meter, we see it in the comfort of our. Those are the meters we used in Krobo for our little issue that we had there. That thanks to all of them and our understanding, we've come a very long way. We are almost done. So when you tamper with the meter, we have the geolocation and all of that, customer name, we know exactly what's happening, right, and we can come and tell.
Samuel Dubik Mahama speaking to me in a yet-to-be-heard interview on the Point of View. We end the interview tomorrow. Conversation about the attempt to rake in 5 billion cedis of monies owed the ECG. A couple of takeaways, Nathan. The meter system, 21 types of meters.
Yeah, 21. Known,
they're not going to add on to that number.
Yeah.
They're also saying that now you can buy credit. He says actually in 2 months. So I'm going to hold him by that. He says in 2 months' time, even if your meter type is the one that has the card that you need to go and queue, you can buy the credit yourself at
Using
home.
Using what, the app?
He says there's going to be NFC, near field communication thing they will put on people's phones that would allow you to just tap the card behind your phone and then it will just upload. Yeah, they said they are working on the APIs. Yeah, the technology guy. So
I see.
Yeah, he's basically trying to use technology to solve the challenge of ECG. And I kind of get him in the sense that he's talking about prior to his coming, you can't even know how much power is being produced. So you see how if you have a group of guys working on your websites, you have screens that show you the traffic on the website and what people are doing on the site, and you have graphs produced. He's saying he's going to do the same thing, and he actually has. Not he's going to do, he has the same thing. So now he knows all the districts in Ghana where power is being produced and how much power is being consumed everywhere. So he seems to be banking on technology. You know, I just hope the people working with him buy into what he's trying to do. Because, Charlie,
we'll pray for him.
You know, I always come back to this. And, girlfriend, I'm changing now. I have a feeling that the way we think and work is a big problem in
How
Ghana.
So?
See, this guy and other MDs, look, a lot of the state agencies that, in my view, are doing well, they are doing well not because of, but in spite of the staff. I'm telling you, a lot of the companies where you have somebody who's trying to reform, I don't want to mention the names, I think the guys come to choke, but you think about state agencies where there's a CEO who you think is working very hard. Most of the people who were there before he came, they're like, oh, Akwawe thinks he will do something, the two no guy. Look, not only do they steal, they also do medicine. I'm telling you,
they do medicine.
They do medicine.
Are they doctors?
Are they doctors? How many years along the medical program?
I'm saying that
they do medicine.
You see, for I think
because that's a weird no.
You see, there's something called
mixing chemicals.
The values of society. No, this is not the laughing matter. Girlfriend.
A strong combination
I'm saying that
they'll do you some
of incompetence and
your KJTR point, and then some of the, you know, because of the work I do, I meet CEOs, DVLA, Passport Office, GIPC, GEPA, Road Safety Commission, like you meet a lot of, and again, for a country to do well, I think these people are more important than even the ministers. So if you look at the nation, it's the people who run the institutions that really matters. SNIT, GRA, SIC. GIPC, these are the people who we meet with every day.
All these people.
I am saying that one of the things that have held us back, among other things, I'm not holding brief for bad political leadership. No. Because bad political leadership does the kind of things you see we discussed this morning, appoint wrong people and things. But even when the person appointed is right, I mean, think about a professional trying to do his work and then somebody comes. But my point is that a lot of the guys who try to reform institutions because they have vested interest. For example, how will in a serious country, how will you have 21 types of meters? How?
Where now, one neighborhood's meter is different from the next neighborhood.
Depending on where you live, there was a day I needed to buy credit. I had to go to some corner in Circle. I couldn't even drive there. I had to walk there. I got there around 11 p.m. Some shop. There was some fun. Some girl sitting behind some cage. Some man eating yam and stew.
Yam.
I'm like, why? You know, and Why? Because interests. So the guy who's working in the company, maybe he's on the board or something, and I'm saying this without proof anyway, but I'm sure whoever will
somebody
get
somebody in the system.
I don't know the how does a shop qualify? Why don't you even make it like, okay, go to the you have regular filling stations. Don't say they want to create jobs. You have regular filling stations, Shell, Goyle, Total, and things. They are neat. Put an ECG vendor there. We can even go and buy it self-service. But no, you go and put the thing in some anti-ILA shop in some place. The person selling the thing, he opens at 9 p.m. They decide I don't come to work today. And there's no logical distribution to even the credit. Like, you know how, like, I'll give an example. Yes, I was going to look for some medicine to buy. You can drive in Nanakrom, Ajingano. You drive and you, like, see 20 pharmacies.
Yeah, pharmacies.
And I'm asking, where is the plan in this? Okay. Meanwhile, you're looking for ECG to buy. You can only get two. Okay, and I'm saying between pharmacy and ECG, which one do I need more at this time? Why do I need 20 pharmacies on this road? Okay, so there isn't any centralized planning. You see, my frustration is this. The things are not done in the interest of the end user. The person, the people working at this ECG and GRA thing, they think that they own the thing. So when they serve you, they are doing you a favor. So now they will now decide on who to give the contract to go and do the
thing.
You get me? And meanwhile, they forget that I pay them. And they think, like, someday I went to some ECG shop. I vow never to go there. Some woman be, oh, no, we don't have to do it. What's your problem? Why are you been shouting at me? I'm coming to buy credit. What's wrong with you? Just, I am coming to buy credit. I'm not, no, we don't have this. I went to, there was those times, my old meter, you take the number.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go, you write the number of the meter. Right. That's what they did the app. And then you go and give it to the lady. And then she'll key the number in and give you your credit. Child, the woman just, Sunday afternoon from church, I don't get credit. The woman, we don't have this. I said, if you don't have this, why are you shouting? What's your problem? Just, I'm like, what? I am the one even paying you. Why do you even have a job? Are you sick? Why are you even talking to me like this on a Sunday afternoon? Did you get me? But it's not her fault because she's been made to understand that she's doing me a favor by sending me credit that I have to come and buy because I am a citizen. And in every space, whether it's distribution of whatever, it's like the people who work there think they own the place. And then when somebody comes who wants to change it, they say, this guy is a bad guy. Then they go and choke the person and they do the person medicine. You know, like no, I don't. So the question is, do we want to advance as a society? Why do you even understand service? You go to some place, people are just sitting down waiting. Our system is down. Not enough seats to sit down. Oh, our system is down. You have to wait. Our system is down. As if our system is down is like some trophy. Our system is down. So wait.
They are happy.
So Saturday afternoon, we are sitting there. You go and ask, are you the only person who can? Why are you only coming to ask a question? Everybody's sitting down. So everybody comes and just sit down. So instead of saying, oh, ladies and gentlemen, we have a system shortage, so we are working hard to get it. Like when you go to a bank, a serious bank, when I go to banks, you go to a bank, they'll say, oh, how long have you been standing here? 5 minutes? Okay, we'll sort you out because this is bank. Go to an ECG vendor, even the big ones, the ECG ones. You just be sitting there. You see that if there's no chair, you stand. And when you come, they don't even tell you anything because people are sitting, you go and sit. Meanwhile, there are three different outlets. Maybe some people have three. Like, the whole thing is not, they don't respect the Ghanaian. And I'm saying I blame the Ghanaian for that because you are the same people who support this kind of foolishness. You are the same people who support this type of thing. You are letting people treat you like this. You are, and then when a leader comes into an institution who wants to change things, the same people, they will steal company property and then they'll be doing medicine.
That's why I'm interested in when you the meter question because when you ask
you go to, you go to your seat, they put a lizard there. Why? You go to your seat.
Let me tell you something. ECG.
Charlie.
VRA.
Customs.
Customs and Ghana Immigration.
Okay. Charlie, why?
They will show you different levels of Wangeko and Chameleon.
And I'm saying that, you see, for me, I always keep saying this, until we change, you see, somebody says something which I buy into. He says, a country doesn't change by only a few people doing big things. A country changes when a lot of people do a lot of different things many times. So this is your treatment of, the credit buying regime is outmoded.
Yes.
it doesn't make sense.
Which is why I'm interested in how they execute this by December.
He said he's going to do super vendors and things. So, like, for example, if you need to buy at City, let's assume City buys 8,000 CDs a day. Mm. There are some vendors in Adabraka who can only have 7,000. So you have to go to a bigger bulk supplier. Yes. So they are sort of going to rationalize so that there will be the smaller units will sell to the bigger units.
But there's a protest there. Remember last
week? ECG vendors.
ECG vendors are also saying they are going to disagree with that particular move it's going to
rise them up. That's all we do in Ghana.
I remember I spoke to a vendor a few weeks ago, and he had a lot of issues talking about how he had money, you know, he had made a purchase. Remember when the Mita Wahala came and all of that? You know, apparently the way he incurred some losses, the losses were not his fault. And he wanted ECG to refund back and forth, that kind of thing. So look, that the electricity space will need a lot of cleaning.
And the truth is that if you see, this is my philosophy, put the customer at the center of your process. Tell yourself that this customer is the reason why we have a job. So we'll make them comfortable, we'll respect them, we'll make things easier for them.
It's the mindset a lot of service providers need to have.
It's like we have to open the Ghanaian mind and use this thing, detergent, to wash it and then close it again.
It's the thing a lot of service providers need to
disrespect
understand, that if I don't show up to buy, you are not getting paid.
Okay, let me just read the story. So the National Private Electricity Vendors Association has passionately appealed to the Electricity Company of Ghana to reconsider the new minimum quota level of 20,000 Ghana cedis. This follows an increase in the minimum quota purchase per meter type from 5,000 to 20,000 effective March 1, 2023. A letter signed by MD Samuel Mahama pointed out that this is to reduce the volume of daily transactions and also to quicken the processing of quota purchase by individual vendors. But the National Private Electricity Vendors Association in a statement said vendors who have now dropped or may drop effective from March 1, 2023 will definitely cause inconvenience to ECG customers. Quote, with due respect, but we request you to consider not to increase the minimum quota level to the 20,000 Ghana cedis. We fervently appeal that you maintain the current quota purchase of 5,000 Ghana cedis.
So this association, have you ever heard of them talk about standards? Have you ever heard of them talk about customer service? They only pop up when the big giant wants to do something to hurt them. And I'm not saying they should be bullied, but this is my point. You are associational, but they think association is just there for their interest. When was the last time they even inspected the shop front of the people who sell credit to us? When was the last time they did that? Where is the standard? This is how you develop a country. Go to Momo vendors. The same. People, you see, we don't understand that you have a responsibility to improve the thing you do. Okay? When was the last time they even did an inventory of their members? They only go, we have 2,000 members. We can go on strike. As if that's the only purpose for association. Leadership of association. Do your members open their shops on time? How do they treat people come and buy credit? When the system is down, what do they say? You can be looking for credit on Saturday. Our system is down. Our system is down. Me, the ECG should do what they have to do. I don't have any sympathy for them.
Well, look,
Engineer Mahama.
Oh, you should do what he has to do.
Engineer
And the people who have been dealing with
he's a lawyer.
And at this point, I'm making it's not even related to ECG. I'm making this as a general point. I'm saying that. What I know is about Ghanaians is that we are hypocritical. We will come and complain on radio that people are not doing the right thing. When you have a leader who tries to do the right thing, you always say he's not a good person. And I can list many examples. And it's even worse if it's a woman. It's, this woman is not good. But what do you do for the company? What time do you come to work? People eating in their office. You are in a government office, you are eating in the office. When customers come, you want to see them. You hear me? People stand outside and wait and you are queuing.
They like to see the queue. So,
Bernard, I'm serious.
They like to see queue.
They like to see queue. You see, a lot of entities, when you go there, and I think that when they look at the queues, they are happy. The longer the queues,
what's going to happen? I'm going to predict this. Technology will wipe out a lot of jobs, and some of you will suffer for it. And you wish you even had people to serve. Those of you who treat people badly. Technology can change things. Uber, taxi drivers. Taxi, hey, I'm calling, loading car. Now, taxi don't get customer because everybody won't use Uber. Now you want to do association against Uber, you won't do. We will take the Uber. Because you won't clean your seat. Your seat belt is dirty. There's no AC in your car. When we say trotro, they should sit there. Oh, every day. Trotro.
Uber trotro.
Look at the contraptions you're sitting as trotro. Hey, the mate, insulting. They should keep on doing it. Somebody will bring a system, it will synchronize everything. Comfortable bus, we all sit inside. They say, hey, who won't protest? Who won't vote? Nah, you see the problem? You won't improve the thing. When some body brings, and inevitably technology will come. When they bring the technology to change the thing, no, they will hit the street and will demonstrate. The customers who stand in front of your shop that you are mistreating there, you know that technology can solve them. Why will I come to your shop if I can buy it on the phone? You think I want to see your face? I won't come. So if you don't improve your service, look, once we are this is the other thing. Every dissatisfaction is an opportunity for somebody to get money through technology. So the fact that we are unhappy with the way credit is sold means that somebody is sitting somewhere creating a solution to that problem. So you see them be misbehaving. You see them be misbehaving.
I've wrapped for the last two.
Anyway, Nathan, let me cool down because I have a lot more interviews to do today. If the Heritage Month is still on, I'll bring you an interview later this morning. I will also be speaking to a very interesting guy who has started a company called HTX Construction. Yeah, so they basically can redo your house for you. Yeah, they can read if you don't like the way your house looks, they can come inside and change everything. Yeah.
Hey, let me see.
They are very interesting people, so they'll come and talk to us as well. Mm. But
but ECG is still here, dude.
Yeah, what are they saying?
They are saying that Omojo Musica.
Charlie.
No lie. Between March 20 and April 20, they are going around collecting all their bills and things. So those who are on postpaid and are not paying bills, beware.
Yeah.
Beware. Some people had to cough up thousands and millions to pay.
Yeah.
Don't fall in that boat. Please sort out your bills. Now, ECG is saying that because of this exercise, their offices will be temporarily closed. Head office, regional and district offices will not close, except for customer service centers to enable total participation by top management and staff. The management wishes to advise all customers in arrears to pay their bills now to avoid disconnection and the payment of reconnection fees. Help ECG to serve you better.
Do you know Lizard?
But I'm not doubting you, Chacha. The two pay there.
Oh, Charlie. Lizard. This is not the place to drop stories. Like, I'll drop a few.
Charlie, stop that.
Anyway,
I
know a few other places. Your leg will swell right now.
You come to work.
Vodafone Business presents Too Much Business, the number one mobile plan for businesses in Ghana. Now you have the best plan on the market that gives you flexibility. You get to choose an SMS packages that suit your business's size and ambition. Send start to 0507-779-000 or email vodafonebusiness.gh@vodafone.com to sign up. Now Vodafone, further together. Now get ready to elevate your driving experience with a vehicle from Toyota Ghana. For a limited time only, Toyota Ghana is offering a super bundle offer on any of the following vehicles: the 1.4 liter Starlet, the 1.8 liter Corolla Cross Adventure, and the 1.5 liter Rush. Purchase any of the mentioned vehicles within the super bundle offer period and enjoy price discount, 1 year free comprehensive vehicle insurance coverage, 1 year free home insurance cover, 1 year free servicing, and free starter fuel. Visit any of Toyota Ghana showrooms in Accra, Tema, Kumasi, Tamale, Takwa, and Takoradi, or call 0302-910204. Credit purchase is also available through special arrangements with our finance partners. Toyota, superior quality.
Before we get into your comments on the ECG, if you're looking for a prime property to invest or buy for immediate returns, with $50,000 you can own one of the 3-bedroom apartments at Sakumono Estate for immediate haircut-free returns. We also sell and install original Japan Fuji elevators and escalators in your high-rise buildings and malls. For the best result, be advised that the technical details of the elevators and escalators have to be incorporated into your building at the construction stage. So call or WhatsApp 0200-535-515 or visit us at Sakumono near the Celebrity Golf Course. This is your property investment, your haircut-free investment. Standard Water has over 25 years experience in providing quality and refreshing water to quench your thirst. This refreshing water brand is available in 11 regions of Ghana, and we're still expanding to cover the rest of the country. Standard Water gives you the following: sachet water, bottled water, dispenser mounted jar, and customized water for parties and other social events. For your quality water, call Standard Water 020-205-5703. That's 020-205-5703. Here are some quick comments, Nathan.
Yes.
On the electricity things.
Anyway, but before we get into the comments, happy birthday to our very good friend, Engineer Abdullahi Mahama.
Oh, Engineer Mahama. Yeah. I missed a couple of birthdays today, actually. So there's one also that came in from Jifa Bampo to her sister, Fafak Behu. first of her name, organizer extraordinaire, no nonsense sister, reliable and jamming, queen of the Mempehuasem, East Legon and Lakeside Estate. Love you to the max. Coming in from your sister Jifa to you, Fafagbahu. All right, Bernard, in Tanzania, as far back as 1999-2000, prepaid power called Luku could be purchased from every corner shop at any time. Oh, Ghana, da abida.
All right, this one says, please, what makes ECG keep the bills to themselves for over 5 months only to bring it to the people and start disconnecting meters? Note, the transport fare from my place to Asesewa ECG office can pay my 2 months bill. Why the stress from ECG? Postpaid meter users can't pay ECG bills with the ECG app or the short codes we use before via MTN Momo. Why? ECG mostly delays bills from October to February every year in most rural areas. Why?
SMP.
That's Edmond from Boyonye Hills in the Eastern region.
It's very frustrated this morning.
Yeah. Bernard, kindly ask the ECG man what is happening to prepaid meters.
Mm-hmm.
Even when your money is ready, you can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
All my documents are intact.
Look at that.
Park Kwesi at Christian Hills in Takrady.
All right.
Bernard, please ask him. Some people say they use prepaid and have been buying, but they block them and impose an amount to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
All right.
This one says Ghanaians are ready to pay for electricity consumption, but we don't get meters. You have to beg.
I forgot to ask about that. Looking for
it. Says that is why we have illegal connections.
Getting meters is a whole...
How do you have 21 different meters and you even struggle to get a meter?
Because apparently they bring in, and this is something somebody's telling me, that they sort of, the political parties import the meters to party faithful.
That's what I'm saying. I wish him well in this endeavor of ending the 21 meter syndrome.
No, there's a project. He's right. So the MIDA people, you know, MIDA guys have this power compact.
Yes.
So under that, there's a rationalization of meters. So it's a true problem.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. The point is that
they'll solve it.
I was collecting their money, they will end the problem for you.
No, they'll create a new. The politicians are very smart. They'll cause a problem. Then we bring donors to solve it. Then we create a new problem. So this one, they will solve it to the project. Then they'll create a new one. That's what they do.
Okay. We look forward to their new problem.
So there'll be a new problem that they'll create. And then that one, they'll do another MIDA project to solve it in 3 years.
All right. This one says, can you ask him why they don't accept checks at their offices anymore?
Their checks are bouncing too much.
There's an issue. And they're asking their people in the office not to complain.
Okay.
The postpaid method through the app is not working. You do it and your money will be locked up.
Look at that.
I tried the app yesterday for myself. My first transaction of 100 cedis was done in my hometown and the alert was sent to me on my number. And it says, note that it said outstanding bill.
Mm-hmm.
I then bought 5 cedis and 1 CD.
Mm-hmm.
And the outstanding bill remained the same, 598.
Mm-hmm.
The box for complaints also don't give you the leeway to state your worries. Kindly ask him questions on this for me and my village people. Mm. Also, the bills have not come for 3 months straight.
Charlie.
Hence my decision to have someone pay the 100 CDs initially to forestall any disconnection.
Look at that. Oh. All right.
This one, not to sound pessimistic, but I was just laughing through the interview. It's like it was prepped. To come and say
everything he came to say.
Okay. The fragments involved in this ECG fiasco are just too much for everything he's talking about. He said absolutely nothing technical as to how to solve this mess. Okay, that's Adam from Accra.
Adam is not impressed. Okay.
And this one says, you are speaking my language, Bernard, and it's the public service to that public service staff that have too many PhDs.
As they pull him down.
Yeah. This one says, this man on your show is just like our politicians. I wish he were in Nigeria making this promise on air. By January, he'll be on your show begging that ECG had issues.
Well, people have comments. Bernard, I hadn't gotten a Momo fraud call in a long time. On Friday, I cashed out Momo at Circle to buy a VIP ticket, bus ticket. I 1 hour later, got a fraudster calling.
Mm-hmm.
5 hours later, I got another call. Clearly, they got my number from the Momo vendor. My Obroni self looked like an easy target. So this guy is a bit light-skinned. This is Johannes, by the way. He does lights. Rufus Green Park, we know him. So you see the point I'm making?
Yeah.
You Momo vendor, somebody has come to buy Momo from you.
Mm.
You've given his number to somebody to be calling to try and fraud him. You see? This is the thing they do, these vendors. Then they'll come around and say that, oh, the policy that MTN is doing is not helping them. The policy is doing is not helping them. You, what are you doing to help us? You, the person sitting there, what work are you doing to help us? How do you even improve your service? So, but how will your number go to a fraudster if it wasn't for a Momo vendor? If the people of Ghana don't change the way they think, we'll just suffer forever for nothing.
But what needs to change is how our Momo system is still operationally mostly cash out.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Once that reduces, because if my daily engagements does not require me to go and do a cash out, but it's institution to, if I'm paying my rent, I go to my landlord is not going to give my number to.
It's more, you know, it's not, so let me give you an example. I buy my TV thing.
Mm-hmm.
I use Momo to pay for it. I actually use an app.
Yes, for that.
ECG for some of the houses I use. Some house I use.
Yes.
But some I use cash.
Yes.
Water. I use Momo.
Momo, yes.
Ghana Water. They came to give us some meters. Yes. Ghana Water, I use Momo.
Yes.
What else do I do with Momo? I forget what I buy now these days.
Mm-hmm.
Most
funny, so for you, most of your transactions now are done digitally.
Yesterday, we went to a pharmacy to buy medicine.
Yes.
When we went, some of them said, don't take Momo.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, are you serious?
Uh-huh. Like, if you go to the market, most of them won't take Momo. In fact, with a lot of the Momo vendors now, they don't want to send. Like yesterday, I was trying to send money to somebody in Kumasi. And I went to like 5 or 6 Momo vendors, and all of them said they won't send.
I think it's E-Levy 2.
Yes.
E-Levy 2 has come to support it.
Yes, most of them said they won't send. If it's a sending, they won't send.
So what do... But their business will collapse, so...
I don't know what it is, but they're saying they won't, if you are coming to cash out, they are fine. But if it's the sending, they won't send.
I don't want cash. I don't want to have cash.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, that our Momo system is still predominantly running around the cash out system. Mm-hmm. If once the cash out reduces and actually becomes an integral part of everything that you do, these things might also reduce.
No, that's a true point. Anyway, so we'll sort of leave it here today and come back to a different interview shortly. But keep your messages coming, 054-998-6996. We're speaking to ATX Construction Ghana with the founder of the company, some interesting ideas about the built environment, housing. But Provident Insurance is 40 years old, and we welcome you to a new year. Remember to insure your new car or renew your existing motor insurance policy from now to 31st March. Yeah, remember to insure a new car or renew your existing motor insurance policy from now to 31st March and get free gifts such as fuel coupons and several other branded Provident souvenirs. Rush for insurance cover now. Terms and conditions apply. The Provident man, you are covered. And losing a loved one stops you in your tracks, leaves you shaking. And in these trying times, you need a partner you can count on. And over the past 21 years, Lashibi Funeral Homes and Crematorium has been there with very great support. We are the first and most experienced private end-to-end funeral service provider in Ghana. From picking up your loved one to the burial itself or cremation to reception, Lashibi Funeral Homes and Crematorium will guide you through the process. Call us on 0509-542-409 or email info@lashibifuneralhomes.com. You can also go to lashibifuneralhomes.com for more information. Now, one of the pet peeves of people on this show, is just like, oh, I got a guy to do some work for me in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So like I got a plumber or I got a mason, and then I sort of gave him money and I said, oh, do the work for me. And then when I travel and come back, he hasn't finished the work. And I said, oh, you had a funeral. All right. Or you do the work. And I'll give you this example. This is a personal example. So I was living in a rented property.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kitchen, we wanted to be able to open the kitchen. The kitchen was getting hot.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to do what is called a net door.
Yeah.
So the landlady gets a guy to kind of do the net door. And then the next day, just all kinds of mosquitoes and flies in the kitchen. So when I went to check, it's like the net door, you know, it's like the door. You can literally throw water through the door, through the side. And the guy had to come 3 times to do the net door. Okay. I moved to a new house. I'm in a new house, okay? And again, we're in a new house. Same problem, kitchen. Same issue. We need a net door at the house because the kitchen tends to get hot. We get another computer from a different part of the country to kind of do the net door, and he still does it, and it still doesn't fit. So it's almost like the guys don't know how to even measure. You know, and for me, it's a problem. Like, if A carpenter can't draw a straight line to produce a net door that will not allow flies to come into your house.
Then, yeah.
I mean, how was he trained? Do you get me?
I guess
so. And it's a lot of things. So we'll see. The guy I'm going to talk to, he says he has a solution to these things. So we'll see how he does it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he says he can even. He said, if I, when people can mess up your house, can we do it for you? So he says he'll do it. He's been doing it for many years. So we're talking to the CEO of HTX Construction. They are a Ghana-based remodeling, architectural and interior design firm. And they also can help you with things like ancillary services, painting, plumbing, carpentry, flooring. And they have some really exciting professionals they would bring on board to help solve that problem for you. So when we come back, we're talking to Troy Massa, who's the CEO, and Tracy Fekes. Okay, I should go straight for you. Okay, welcome. Troy, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bernard. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And we have Tracy Ferguson. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm wonderful.
Brilliant. So, Troy and Tracy are from HTX Construction Ghana. So, let's start by talking about HTX and what they do. And then, let's talk about Troy first. Okay, let's talk about Troy. So, you're wearing a hat like a Texas cowboy. And you sound like you have a southern accent from some part of the U.S. But you've been living in Ghana for quite a while.
Well, I'm actually from Houston, Texas, and I've been here for about 2 years.
Okay.
I purchased a home here in East Ligon about a year and a half ago, and so I go back and forth from Houston back to, Ghana.
Brilliant. And so what brought you to Ghana in the first place?
Well, I just came to visit. You had the year to return, and I heard so much about it, and I guess when I first thought of Ghana, I thought about safari. I didn't know that Ghana was going to be as beautiful as it is. You know, it's a beautiful, wonderful place. I just love this place.
Okay. So you came to Ghana many years ago and you fell in love with the place, bought a property at East Ligon.
Yes.
But now you've started a business.
Yes.
Called HTX Construction.
Yes.
What's all that about?
Well, when I bought my home, I had some guys to come in to do the renovations on the home.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like you just said earlier, there were lines that were crooked, there were doors that were crooked, and I said, well, wait a minute, hold up, I'm going to have to do this all over again. So I had to tear different things in, tear it out and replace different things. So then I said, you know what, let me just bring my crew from Texas over here and let's try and do some homes over here ourselves.
You brought your crew from Texas to come and improve your home.
Mm-hmm.
You are a man of means, you have a lot of money.
Well,
you flew down your own personal crew to East Ligon.
Well,
to fix the window, to fix the door.
Yeah, but guess what?
Wow.
I flew him down to do that, but also to repair other people's homes as well.
Okay, so you notice it's a bigger problem than simply for you. Is it the question of poor quality work? Is it supervision? Is it that there's no company that sort of helps to finish? What was the gap you saw in the market that gave you the sense that this could actually be a proper business?
Well, you know what? I would say this. I think that supervision is important.
Mm.
I think that when you talk about, when you look at home rebuilds and all of the new buildings that are going up in Ghana, I think that you guys are still catching up to some of the modern things that we do back in the States. But I'm not saying that what you do is not great.
Yeah.
And so we just bring in some new flavor to Ghana. That's
No, I feel you. I think the real estate sector in the Western world is far advanced compared to Ghana. So in Ghana, you see a lot of people starting, and people want to build their own houses from scratch. So they sort of 5, 6, 7 years to build a house. And then they bring carpenters and they bring these guys to their fixtures and fittings. I think there's a more established system in the US where there are companies that will take over the whole thing. I sense what you're doing is called home improvement. So you want to do home first. What does home improvement mean in its original context, and how can we apply that in Ghana? Tracy?
So home improvement for us means, we cover things from flooring, carpeting, power washing, any kind of project, no matter how big, how small. So we kind of, our thing is about really being a service to the homeowner here in Ghana. So the idea is just that everything in between, whether it's remodeling, whether it's handling new carpet, putting down flooring, whatever it is, we can provide those services throughout all of the different products that we offer.
Mm. So how long have you been in this business and how is it going? Because again, I'm not sure there was a huge home improvement market. I didn't see that. Obviously, the problem you had got you to see it. What's the response? What kind of response are you getting? And are you actually doing some home improvements as we speak?
Yes, we've been pretty busy. As a matter of fact, we start on a kitchen, living room, and a workout room. She wanted to redo it. I think it's going to be really, really nice because she didn't have a desire at the time to have the open concept. You know, like here, I noticed that a lot of the kitchens are not as open for whatever reason. I've heard that, well, it's the smell of the food. Well, the food smells the same in the U.S. as it does in Ghana. So, I mean, I just think it's about being able to enjoy your home with your friends and family. And if it's the open concept, you know, embrace it. It's a new thing.
But does not the material we use in building make it more difficult? Because, again, in Ghana, we are very concrete and sometimes bricks. Again, in the U.S., depending on where you are, some of the buildings are wooden. A lot of the things are DIY kind of things. You can shift things around because they are hurricane concerns and that type of thing. So I'm again trying to sort of bring that back home. It would be more expensive, wouldn't it, to do a home improvement in a house like this house or whichever house, because the walls are thicker. The things are a bit more fixed. So how are you able to do this without making it too expensive?
Yeah, but when you think about it, this room here, paint. Just paint. Nothing major, just paint. You have carpet on your floor. You said, okay, I want to do wood floors. Have you ever walked on wood floors in Ghana? I mean,
very few times.
Yeah, and why not?
Because a lot of people feel like there's dampness in the ground. So, look, Ghana is a funny place. So you go to build in an area, and there's a lot of salty water. So you notice a lot of houses, you see there's a rising water thingy. I don't know what they call it. It's like the wall gets wet and then you see the paint peel off.
Yes.
So people then go and do what they call damp proofing. Mm-hmm. So I have kids. I'll prefer my kids to walk on wooden floors because they bump their heads. But you're worried about the water in the ground. If it's not treated, then it's going to really create a messy situation. Do you follow me? So I'm trying to point you to some of the new ones. I mean, I like your business, and I think it's a great idea, which is why I'm coming back to the price point. That is this something that the average homeowner can afford, Tracy?
I think various elements of what we provide are certainly approachable. We our biggest promise is value, and our biggest promise is that we won't leave you. We finish our projects. When we start a project, we finish our project. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get what you pay for with us.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, we're great at refreshing. So mm-hmm. as Troy was mentioning, you know, refreshing is, it could be painting, it could be wall coverings, it could be bringing in interior designers to rearrange things and make them work for you. Mm-hmm. So we offer a variety of services at a variety of price points.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of have to stick to that because what you're getting from us is the value and the trustworthiness of our team staying.
I wanted to explain a bit more about the services you offer because this is not something that a regular homeowner would be thinking about doing. So typically, if I have a house that I don't like, I'll sell it and build a new one if I have a lot of money or whatever. So you're talking about painting, redesign. Just walk me through slowly some of the services you offer for homeowners.
So we can paint your house, we can mm-hmm. handle flooring, mm-hmm. we can remodel.
Mm-hmm.
A remodel could be something very, very simple. It could be something very complex.
Mm-hmm.
We can provide power washing, new roofing,
mm-hmm.
Anything that you can imagine in the home improvement space, we really can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So again, what our promise is the value.
Okay.
The value of being able, like you were saying to your earlier point, was, you know, if things are crooked, this didn't fit, somebody else has to come out. That won't happen with us. We're promising, like, that will not happen with us.
Mm-hmm.
We will stay around until the job is completely finished and it's to your satisfaction.
And the company is called HTX Construction Ghana.
Yes.
HTX Construction Ghana. Tell me about your team. Who do you have? What kind of experts or people do you have in the company?
We actually have one here in the studio with us.
Is it? Okay.
Jerry J. Clues, and he's an architecture designer. Okay. I'll throw it to him just to let him know. But
Jerry J.
Yes.
Clues. Yes.
Architectural designer.
Yes.
Is it? I see. Welcome to the show.
Okay.
It sounds like a big man. Okay. Yeah. And then who else? I'm not even talking about the people. I'm talking about, like, the kinds of skill sets that you are bringing on board.
So electrical
guys,
plumbing
guys,
carpentry, anything that deals with a home,
mm-hmm.
we provide that service.
And no, these guys are professionals.
Yes, very professional.
They don't have funerals at the weekend.
No, very professional. Let me give you a story.
Draw straight lines.
Let me tell you what happened. So now that you bring that up,
yeah.
So when I first got here,
mm.
I was riding with the realtor,
mm-hmm.
and she started crying. And I said, well, is everything okay? And she's like, well, yes, it's fine, but it's not fine. I said, well, what's the problem? She says, well, I gave this carpenter $5,000, and he was supposed to finish my project by Friday, and today is Thursday, and I can't get him to answer the phone. And I said, really? Does that happen often? She says, well, this is the first time it's happened to me. Well, anyway, she finally got in contact with that carpenter, and he said to her, well, you know, I can't finish it this week. I'll get back with you in a couple weeks. She was devastated. But she said, well, let me get my money back. And he said, well, I can't give you the money back. I've already spent it. So you're just going to have to wait 2 weeks.
Look at that.
So that's bad.
So, but apart from home improvement and all the things you do, do you like have a service where you can give me a plumber or you can connect me to a carpenter or a painter? Because a lot of my listeners are looking for these kind of plugs. Because, look, if you said I have a list of certified kitchen installers, well-trained, or whatever. I'm sure there are people who would want that. Do you have anything like that?
Yes, and here's the benefit with HTX Construction. So all you have to do is pick up the phone, make that call, and it's right. So you don't have to worry about finding a referral from a friend and hoping that it comes through. Because what happens is you can come to our office. We're in Laboni. Whatever you need, you can come in. You know where we are. We're not going anywhere. If you give us money, you know where your money is. If you have a problem, you know who to call for that problem. So it resolves a whole lot of...
So what's your phone number then?
Phone number is 233-505-205-252.
You're still thinking of the US, eh?
I am.
Mention the thing properly.
So I can take off the 233,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, so 505...
No, so 0505.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
205-252.
I'm confused now. 0505-205-252. Okay, so yeah, you had it. So 0505-205-252. So it's just fives and twos in different combinations with a couple of zeros. So 0505-205-252. You're Laboni in Accra, and you're saying basically that you can do home improvement of all kinds in different parts of the country. I see.
They can also reach us.
Do you have a website?
Yes, we have a website, htxconstructiongh.com.
htxconstructiongh.com.
Perfect.
Why HTX? Is it Houston, Texas? Why HTX? What's that?
We're Texans.
Yeah, okay. I was just wondering. All right. So we've been talking to Troy Marceau. Is that how it's pronounced?
Yes, that's correct.
Who's the a returnee business owner, which is good. So I think the Year of the Return people should contact you. This is one of the reasons why they did the Year of the Return, where people of means from the diaspora come and help to make Ghana great again. So welcome. And I guess you also came from Houston, Texas.
Awesome.
As yes. Do you as well. Do you have any people training Ghana at all? Why are you all from Houston? Where are the Ghanaians? Oh, they are, you have Ghanaians in your company?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yes.
Okay.
The majority of it. There's more Ghanaians.
Yeah, more Ghanaians. Okay, I'm just asking. Yeah, I just wanted to be sure. I see. So Troy Marceau is the CEO of HTX Construction. And Tracy Ferguson is a marketing consultant working at the company. And they came with a very tall architect who's looking at me funny. So call them on 050-520-5205252 or 0505-205252 or simply just Google HTX Construction Ghana. You get their website. They have a lot of things they do. Basic points, home improvement, home redesign, home remodeling, repainting, and all these things. And then also they have these artisans they work with who can help you. And do you do like do you sort of install pre-made fixtures and fittings? So like you can bring in a wardrobe and bring in a kitchen set and just install it for me as well. You do that too?
We do.
You do that. You work with different brands globally?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds like a good business. Sounds like it. When I get money and I build a house, I will give you a call.
You're ready, Bernard.
Well, by faith. We live by faith and not by sight. 20 minutes past 9, City Breakfast Show. We're live in Accra. Coming up next is the Heritage Month Honor Series. Nathan and Goffred are still here. Goffred, the tea woman says she's coming on Friday with the tea. Yeah, she's coming on Friday with the tea. And Chibum. And
I said Thursday.
No, it's Friday. We've already...
Which this guy must feel the pain.
Sealed,
of...
signed, and delivered. I'm inviting you, by the way. We have a Back to the Village Food Bazaar. It's on Friday. It's on Saturday and Sunday. All Ghanaian food available.
Really?
2 days. Oh, yes. You'll enjoy it.
I would be there.
Oh, yeah. You are from Houston, Texas. You enjoy it a lot.
Thank you very much for the invite.
is the City Breakfast Show. The city's biggest conversation.
All right, so it's 24 minutes past nine. The British Council have some great news. At the British Council, we see students from all over the world with dreams of a bright future coming together for quality education that achieves goals. Those who study abroad in countries like the UK are getting much more than just a degree. They are getting a world of valuable experiences. Visit the British Council website to find out how you can own your future. All right, a couple quick comments. So, Nathan, look, listen to this one. This is about, it's a long one. Maybe I'll read it later. You know, it's about agents. You know, we talk about Momo agents and kind of things they do.
Yeah.
You know, somebody says he sent money to a wrong agent in March. This is Vodafone. And he requested a reversal. And it's been up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, one day we will do a show on these agents and how we can improve the work they do, or how they can improve the work they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they are the interface, you know. Lots of comments. Bernard Ahmed, postpaid meter customer for ECG for over 6 months now. I've not received a single bill for my electricity consumption. At a point, I decided to just go and pay something. Where to even pay was more of the problem. I used to pay at vending points in my community, but all vendors were stopped from receiving payment for postpaid, so they should limit their operations to prepaid. So to pay, one has to travel for hours to the nearest GCE office to wait to queue for long hours. Yesterday, for instance, I went to Roman Ridge office of the ECG to pay 1,000 CDs and met a long queue, and numerous customers were told their system was down. I stayed in the queue from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. and left. As I write now, my errand boy is in the queue at the same office trying to pay. So if I'm found out to be in arrears, is ECG right to come and disconnect me? This is Forsen Acha. Oh gosh. You know what? Let's talk about our heritage, right? Let's talk about heritage, man. You know, it's good. You just heard me talking to a businessman who visited Ghana and started a business here. So good way to go. Let's keep talking Ghana as an investment destination. Let's talk about Ghana as an attractive tourist destination. Kwaku Akwankra is on. This is the final episode on Forts and Castles. Apioko Seram Abe did the interview.
The City Breakfast Show. Rise above the noise.
Welcome to the Heritage On Air series right here on City FM and City TV. My name is Apioko. Now, we've been doing a series that has been spotlighting Ghana's forts and castles. What is the history? What is the heritage? And why are some of them particularly significant in the, beyond 66-year journey that Ghana has seen, far beyond into the Gold Coast and probably even beyond that? My guest is Kwaku Akwankra. We've already spoken about the Osu Castle. It's time to get into the Cape Coast Castle and what that means for us as Ghanaians as well. This series is sponsored by the National Lottery Authority, and we get right into the conversation. Kwaku, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Once again. So yeah, I don't even have to give you any pleasantries because this is your home.
Yeah.
This is your home. But we're talking about the Cape Coast Castle. It's a castle that has featured in many documentaries all over the world. When members of the diaspora come back, they want to go there because there's such a huge connection when it comes to the transatlantic slave trade and what the castle meant in that regard. However, there's more. Yeah. And so I want us to delve a bit into that today. You know, it was built as Fort Carolusberg.
Yeah.
Fort Carolusberg. How did we get to Cape Coast Castle?
Okay, so we are now delving into Cape Coast, which the Portuguese called the Cabo Coso.
Cabo Coso.
Yeah, that's their place, Cabo Coso. But the town itself, as we know, is Uga. It was a market.
Uga
market. So that's why they have their appellation. Uga Akoto.
akota bedru ba wonu nu ta nu ebesa wonya apimo kwen ya apimo ntumu wan yo Biden me gbe anya ubi so they buy the crabs, okay? There are thousands of that crabs who are always hovering around their holes. But thousands come to fight them, they cannot stand them because they are very powerful people. So whatever you do to Oba, Oba will do the same thing to you.
Stand
and do the same to you. That's what they are telling you. So the thousand crabs, Oba Koto. So that is Kabukoso. Very important landmark. So the place became one of the most significant territories to the European powers. So as I stated in the Christopher Castle one, the Cape Coast Castle itself, the idea itself was also started by the Swedes. So the Swedes, when they brought Henry Calof, when he came, built the Osu, as we have learned, was 1652. In 1653, he built the Cape Coast Lodge. He built the Cape Coast Lodge, and they were in it for some time until 1658-59.
Okay.
In 1658-59, there was a contestation between Henry Calof and then the Swedes. And as a result, the properties through a hostile takeover was given to the Danes. So the Danes came to occupy it, just as it happened at the Osu Christabon Castle. So when they came to occupy it, it was for some time, from 59 to 61. Then they left it at that because of misunderstanding between them and the Cape Coast people. So from 61 to 63, the castle was seized by the devil of Oga, who was then at the Futu. So in history book, we call it Day or Odefu, which is the sovereign who represents the chief of the...
Wait, let me just backtrack a little. What was the bone of contention between the Danes and the people of Cape Coast at that time?
So the bone of contention was that, how do you call it, when they came to take over, unlike the Swedes, you know, when the Swedes were building that fort, they employed some members of the Cape
Coast.
Yeah, some members of the Cape Coast. And in fact, during its building, a controversy occurred where the Cape Coast Asafo, Abrafumba, they called them Abrafumba. Abrafumba are the people whose parents were Europeans.
So the mulattoes.
Yes. So the Abrafumba, when they brought the people, they decided that the women should even be paid double. Those who were pregnant. And then the Swede says, you know, they are one. And they say, no, they are women, as from the matrimonial point of view, they are women, when they carry a baby in their belly, they are treated twice. They don't give them one. So they actually bargained, and they were able to get their deal. So this apparently make them some sort of have a good relationship with the Swedes. Mm-hmm. So when the Danes took over and these sort of friendship was not there, it led to a whole lot of things. And moreover, there was also a contestation by other powers who also wanted the fort for themselves. Okay. And as a result, within these contestations, the Dey of Cape Coast decided to come in and said, okay, for whatever reason, I've seized it. All of you, this didn't even belongs to you, it belongs to the Swedes, so I've taken over. So the day or therefore took over from 1661 to 1663, and then later he gave it back to the Dutch.
Okay.
He gave it back to the Dutch. And then when he gave it back from 1664 to 1665, the Danes and then the English also team up, and then they fought against the Dutch in another fight, and then they took over the fort from the Dutch. And when they took over from the Dutch from 1665, at that time they make it the Royal West African Company took over. Okay. What is called the WAC.
Okay, but it was initially built by the Swedish African Company. So at this point, the Swedish African Company no longer
is. They've been sad through the hiccup that opened in 1658-59. And as a result, as I said, the Danes were there. And then later, from the 1658-59 up to 1661,
Then 1661, or the day of Cape Coast also took over from 1661 to 1663. 1663, there was a counter fight from 1663 to 1664, where the Dutch, who had been given the castle by the Dane, were also beaten by the joint alliance between the Danes and then the English against the Dutch, and then they took over.
So, quick, what was making this particular space and edifice so important that there were so many hostile takeovers? So you have the Danes, the Dutch, now British have come in. What was it about that particular space and the edifice itself that was making it so appealing that people are willing to fight for it?
So it's the same as what also happened in Osu. You could see similarity. One of it is that it is the trade, the volume of trade.
Okay.
They were getting the needed raw materials, both agricultural and as well as extractive metals that they were able to get from the Gold Coast. And this is what endeared them. So because if you have power over that, it means you control the global flow of trade from Africa.
Mm.
And Africa have it in abundant resources.
Of course.
Mind you, when the first Portuguese arrived on the coast, Santarém and Escobar, when they landed at Yabio, they say they saw a lot of gold particles on the coast, and that's why they shouted Aminga.
Aminga.
That is a mine. So it's something that we had it in abundance. So and then the inland traders, like the Akanis, were bringing more gold. And then our gold was also the best form of gold in the transatlantic trade.
Mm.
So the white people call it Akaniska or the Akani gold, which is the purest unadulterated gold you could ever find in the global gold trade. And that is why you could see that contestation for the forts and castles across the coast of Gold Coast. And that is why Cape Coast also very strategic. Cape Coast is strategic because when you talk about the major trade routes, the great southern trade route, that move all the way from Salaga through Bego, downward through Wenchi, moving all the way through Tafu in Kumasi, passing all the way through Adanse, and then they cross the River Pra, move all the way through Asinukushia, Asampanaye, then to the Donkonsio in Asinamansu, move all the way through Abedunkwa, and at Abedunkwa, the road will bifurcate. One will go all the way to Elmina, one will also go to Cape Coast, and one will also go to Kromante, other one will go to Anomabu. Mm. And Cape Coast was a major route at the time. So this is what made it very strategic for this European power to capture Cape Coast. And Cape Coast edifice, the way they built it and the place it is, it was on a huge stone, as you see.
Yes.
And in fact, when they were building it, there was a deity there called Nana Tabil. Tabil meaning the overseer.
Nana Tabil.
Yes, Nana Tabil. So when you go to one of the dungeons, you will see that they've built it and positioned the Tabil deity within it. Mm. Back in the day, according to historians, it was a big hole. That hole was even closed somewhere in the 1860s when there was a renovation there. Mm. But it was a big hole full of dangerous snakes back in the day at the back of the castle. And when we talk of these deities and then building of the forts, at Anomabu, the same thing occurred when they were building the Fort Charles, now called Fort Millions. When they also built it, there was a deity there called Kukobi. So they also have to position it in such a way that it will be in the castle and then open access for the locals to come and have it. In the same way, when we come to Jamestown, when it was also built, the Onyeni deity was also there. So they have to position it within the dungeons so that the locals can pass the back there and come and propitiate their deity. Mm. So that was how Cape Coast was also like. So Tabil played a significant role because back in the day, it was one of the most powerful deity in Cape Coast, and they have to build on its rocks, which was a serious defense. Even up to today, if you go,
that's how the cannons have been arranged.
Yes, so it was very strategic for all these European powers, and that is why we see the contestation for that particular edifice during that time. So after 1665,
We'll come to that. Let's take a break. This is the Heritage On Air series here on City FM and City TV, sponsored by the National Lottery Authority, Kwaku. So we were talking about how there are deities at these sites that we find these forts and castles. Cape Coast Castle was no different. We had the Tabra, Comfort Tabra there, and you know they had to build in such a way that the locals could still pass through, go around through their dungeons and access their deity. Now, before we went on the break, we were going to move on from there and talk about, you know, just, I mean, at this point where we are seeing that the thing has been built, it's been contested several times, there have been alliances, and then people are also fighting against each other just to access and own claim to the Cape Coast Castle. Where do we go to from here?
Yeah, so as I was saying, when the British and the Danish alliance finally were able to overthrow the Dutch in 1664-65, then the place became the office of the English people after, in the alliance with the Danes. The Danes went back, and then the British, what is called the Royal African Company, settled there. So by the 10 years afterwards, that is the 1675 or the 1775 thereabout going, they made the place their official headquarters.
Okay. The Cape Coast Castle,
they make the place their official headquarters. And they control the castle for a very long time until today. So what happened was that when they took over, the castle, just like all other castles, was also their factory. And at the same time, the place where their officials and workers were also living, so it was a residential area, it was a working place, it was also a storehouse. And it has a church also there. Then when the transatlantic slave trade emerged, when we moved from the legitimate trade to transatlantic slave trade, then more dungeons were also built to accommodate the human beings that would be passed through. And it was one of the major strategic areas where a lot of human cargo were passed through, as opposed to other forts and castles.
Was it because of the trade routes? Before the break, we established that was a very important route generally for trade. Yeah. Was it because of the trade routes?
Yeah, because the closeness of the Ashanti to the Cape Coast was easier than to move all the way to Accra. So when they pass through, because you from Adansi Press, when you cross the or through Kushia, through a place called Ebusubari in the Kushia area, that is where the shallowness of the Pra is. When you pass through there, you are entered straight into the central territory, and you are getting straight to the fort and castles. Okay, and as a result, this made it possible for more of the trade to be what pass through there. And then when the illegitimate trade, or what we call the transatlantic slave trade, came, a huge number of people also passed through there. And the question is why? Because Ashantis were major players who were in the war of expansionism. So they had a lot of human beings being given to them as a war tribute or as captives of war.
Of course, they were conquering the parts of the gold coast.
Yes. And this, in other words, they call them the conquistadors. So, in this conquering or expansionism, all the captives of war that they were able to lay us on found their way to the Cape Coast Castle and other allied castles around.
Is it because the Ashantis were more willing to give those people up? I mean, they were captives of war.
Back in the day, you can't say they were ready to give people up, because you need to understand this from insider-outsider perspectives. Because during that time, certain ethnic formations have not even been formed, or what we call the ethnic groups today. So if you look at when the white people or the Europeans came, by the time of Portuguese arrival, even the Achimu had not even moved from the Pra River Basin to Brim area
to become the Achimu.
They were still there as Akanis. There was nothing like Asante. Dentra was not even ready. It was later from the early 1600s, but around 1500s, before the Achimus would move to the Brim enclave, then the Asantes would move, they preferred themselves. So when the Europeans came, they came within the period of state formation. So this was a period we were also fighting.
So it was easy to capture people.
Yes. So when I capture, I go to war. So the Trefu fights the Akani people. And then he needs more money.
The people he will conquer during the war, the captives, is what he will go to Cape Coast Castle or Elmina Castle to sell and buy more guns to come and expand their territory. So it was not that I knew you to be one of my own and I'm selling you.
It was really just a feature of the game.
Yes,
at
it
the
is
time.
Part of every society when there is what we call social formation. Yeah. The states will engage in expansionism. And when they are engaging in expansionism, whoever you conquer, you use some of the human beings, you sell them, and you get more ammunition to fight. That is what happened in the Greek war.
Absolutely.
You see it in Roman Empire, Egyptian Empire, and so on. So the more you conquer, the more you get human beings to sell. And that is what happened. So, as I was stating, even Asante, as an ethnic group or kingdom, started in 1701, okay, after the Fayyase War. Equiapim State, 1733, Abuteji Accord, Kowu and others, all these states were to come later. That was long before the long after the European arrival. So it should let you understand the context within which these wars were waged and how more human beings became a product that fed the transatlantic slave trade. You get the point?
Yes.
So majority of people that went into the transatlantic slave trade were captives of war. So they took advantage. So Reki is saying that from 1665 going, the Europeans, particularly the Dutch and English, they flooded the coast of Gold Coast, that even one English captain in his report to the Royal African Company was saying that in the Cape Coast where my ship has docked, all the ground were scattered with so much ammunition that my leg couldn't even touch the sand.
Wow.
So it means they brought a lot of ammunition. The availability of more firearms also led to inter-ethnic warfare. Because the more you give them more firepower, the more they fight. And the Europeans deliberately did so because when they fight and expand their
then
territory,
it's easy to
then they are able
people
to get the captives of war.
Yeah. Because otherwise they can't penetrate the communities.
They because if they didn't have more guns from the Europeans, more people, more captives would also flow. That is why we say the idea of transatlantic slave trade itself is an European enterprise. That was linked to that of the local elites who were also engaged in it.
Right.
Because no African built a ship to send people to go and sell in America or Europe.
Right.
No African formed any limited liability company to buy human beings and go and sell.
No.
But the Europeans formed companies sponsored by their own state government, sanctioning them to buy human beings to go and sell. So that shows you that the idea of transatlantic slave trade, it is European capitalist venture.
Through
as plain as that.
Through and through.
And Africans were just integrated into it willingly.
Yeah.
Are you getting that point?
Uh-huh.
So that's what it is. And that is why Cape Coast Castle became an avenue for this trafficking. While they were there, it was not only the trafficking, they also opened, they decided why African company was in the castle, made an attempt to send some gold coasters to Europe to go and study. And the first people were Akwa and Saki. Akwa and Saki, they were priests of Anmabu's children.
Okay.
They took them there, and then later they took Kokusofu, who is Philip Kwaku.
Your name, see?
Yes, they took him too. And then they trained him as a reverend minister, just to come back and then proselytize the locals to become Christians. And then when he came, the castle school was opened, and then he was a teacher, and he produced, quality students at the time, some of them who will later became the forefathers of the Fanti nationalism and then the Gold Coast nationalism.
Okay, so the Cape Coast Castle, again, are we right in saying that it's also tripartite in the kind of heritage that it represents, just like those two castles?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So the three of them, they all fit in. In fact, almost all the castles in the Gold Coast fit into that, even for the present time, because you have Atokwa there, representing the dark tourism site, and so on, as well as cultural heritage sites, as well as the slavery. So these tripartite sites, most Ghanaian monuments across the coast, shows they fit beautifully
well into that, okay, that category.
But we need to wrap up this conversation shortly. But from the time the British took over till now, I mean, we've spoken about the slave trade and all of these things. Post the transatlantic slave trade, after it was abolished globally, what then became the significance, apart from the cultural heritage and it being a reminder of all the things that had happened there, what then became the significance of the Cape Coast Castle?
So the significance of the Cape Coast Castle is we cannot also talk about education, emergence of education in this country without talking about Cape Coast Castle, Mina Castle, as well as Osu. Because this is where some of the early education started. Because Philip Kwaku, for instance, will produce people like Neza, produce the De Graafs, produce the Henry Morgan, Insedus, and all those people, at Poa Pieti and others, who would then come in and then start teaching. In fact,
they were the African intellectuals.
Yes, those young guys, they were the people that called one trader who was a Methodist, Methodist by faith, called Porter, Captain Porter, and ask him to send Bibles back to the Gold Coast. And those people, led by De Graaf, wrote a letter that they need more Bible, and they form a group called the Bible Band,
okay,
Society of the of Cape Coast. And it was them that make sure Methodism came to Cape Coast through their effort. So through their writings and asking for more people, the Methodist missionaries started coming in. The Anglican missionaries started coming in. Mm. Mind you, Kwaku was an Anglican missionary. He was trained by the Society for Propagation of the Gospel, SPG. So they brought him in to come and win more souls after Thompson had also come in. Then the Methodists also, through Porter and other Methodist missionaries, also they came in. And finally, Thomas Bedge Freeman, who also came in, and he was also a mulatto, come in and then help. So in terms of the spread of the of Christianity, the castle there also played a significant role.
Of course, and of course, with the spread of Christianity and the different sects, we also got to have the spread of education, because a lot of these Christian entities set up schools, and we like to call Cape Coast or the central region the education hub
absolutely
in Ghana.
So in addition to, as I made a very remarkable in terms of gender equality and rights of the African women, you could also see that the idea of feminism or the idea of gender equality was something that was also embedded in the mind of the Infante and the Akans.
So this whole thing of a pregnant woman has to be paid double because
she's pregnant.
So even when
we want to go back and see how the gender equality also go back into antiquity, you can see it from Cape Coast Castle burden, its establishment, how those women, the way the men argued on behalf of their women, that even when they are pregnant, there are certain jobs they need not to do. And if they are forced to do, they must be paid twice.
Absolutely.
When the men were receiving only one salary, they were receiving twice. It shows you the right of women was here until the British themselves will come out with their Native Jurisdiction Ordinance of 1881, and then couch the idea of ruling through the chiefs without
including
the idea
the women,
of a queen mother.
The queen mothers.
When queen mothers play a significant, so it is the British themselves or the Europeans who undermined the gender equality or the feminist right within the Gold Coast. Because back in the day, even when it comes to pouring of libation in the house among the Fanti and then other Akans, it was the role of the women. When the Christianity as well as the European ideas through the European laws came, women will say, hey, you can no longer pour libation because women will have a menses and you don't have right and you will be impure to go near the deity and so on. So that Cape Coast Castle offers this beautiful idea of the right of women in our African society, how we treated them equally as ourselves.
Kweku, a perfect note to end on, because we are in Heritage Month, but also in Women's History Month. So thank you for ending on that note. My guest today on the Heritage On Air series has been Kweku Dakuankra. He's a historian. And once again, he's one of our favorite historians. He's one of our favorites here. We've been speaking about the Cape Coast Castle, the history, the significance, the heritage that it occupies in our series here, right here on City TV and City FM, about the forts and castles of Ghana. My name is Apioko. This series is sponsored by the National Lottery Authority, the NLA. We'll be back next time with some more insightful conversations for Heritage.
This is the City Breakfast Show, the city's biggest conversation.
Yeah, and that's how we end our City Breakfast Show for the morning. You were listening to the Heritage series, Kweku Dakuankra talking about the Cape Coast Castle. He was speaking with Apioko on that very interesting subject. We are back tomorrow with another exciting installment of the Heritage series, but this is how we end today's edition of the City Breakfast Show. You heard Bernard, Godfred, myself, Nathan Kwa, show produced by Caleb Kuda and Fred Jabano. Godfred Odum supported us on technical.